Football frenzy is in full effect. Jackson Radio Works proudly presents this week's High School Game of the Week on K105.3. Reading at Michigan Center. Brought to you by Trips Auto Shop and Collision Center, Meckley Slater Fruit Farm, The Beach Bar, Northwest Community Schools, Collins Brothers Floor Covering, Denny's, Penn Chiropractic Center, County National Bank, Tri-County Water, Subway, Art Main Chevrolet, the Jackson YMCA, Jackson Public Schools, American One Credit Union, Computer Ties, Michigan Center Schools, and Lester Brothers. Now for tonight's Call the Action. We head up to the press box with Captain Steve Boyle and Jason Smith.
And the Michigan Center Cardinal Marching Band with the national anthem here at Michigan Center High School. Steve Boyle, Jason Smith. Glad to be out here once again on Harshbarger Road. And pretty cool game that we're getting set to view, Jason. The crossover championship game, the Michigan Center Cardinals and the Reading Rangers. And a couple of good teams are looking forward to a good game tonight.
Yeah, both teams coming into this one 7-1. Playoffs are locked in for both of them. Nothing to worry about there. But a little bit of bragging rights on the line for both of these teams. We'll wait to see where they both fall in line in terms of the playoff seeding and whatnot goes. A lot of big stuff to get at today. They announced the seniors earlier in the pregame festivities. The all-conference football team was named for both the Cascades Conference and the Big Eight. So congratulations to all of those young men on the football team. And I'm excited for this one. Michigan Center is a tough defensive team. Reading can put up some points when they need to, so we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, a couple of teams that can score points, Jason. Michigan Center, as you mentioned, 7-1, 6-1 in the league. Their lone loss came early in the season, a 14-17 home field loss against a Napoleon Pirates team that ended the season with one loss as well. Three-way tie for the Cascades Conference Championship. But Michigan Center gets to this game by virtue of tiebreakers with a win over Addison, and Napoleon actually had two losses during the season. Reading, meanwhile, also 7-1. They were undefeated in the Big Eight Conference to win that crown. Their only loss of the year came to Sand Creek, 19-26, week one.
Yes.
So they're on a seven-game winning streak. Sand Creek, as we were noting in our conversation before the game, not a dominant team, trying to, you know, put some reasoning behind how or why this obviously good Reading team was able to lose to Sand Creek, and we don't really have an answer. I was kind of looking at some whatever I could find for common opponents for these two teams, and what I came across was that Michigan Center played Climax Scotts. Mm-hmm. Sand Creek, who beat Reading, also played Climax Scotts. Now, Michigan Center beat up on them 35-6 week one. Climax Scotts beat Sand Creek 52-21, and Sand Creek beat Reading 26-19. So transitive property, you want to throw in some algebra. I like Michigan Center in this game. Yeah. But again, I haven't seen Reading. I don't know a ton about them. Notable, though, as we were mentioning, some of the Cascades Conference and Big Eight all-conference players that will be recognized at halftime of this game.
Yeah.
Ethan Lopresto and Ben Appalter from Reading were co-MVPs of the Big Eight Conference. So they've got some skilled players on the field on offense and defense. And the one comment I got from the Michigan Center assistant coaching staff, just a quick, what do you think of these guys? He said, well, their running back is fast.
Yeah, and when you've got an all-conference young man who's a co-MVP, I mean, that's a feat. If you can be co-MVP of a league as an offensive lineman, as Nick was, and he's just a sophomore. He's 6'2", 290-pound sophomore, and if you've got him blocking for you, and that's almost inevitable that Ethan Lopresto, the junior tailback, for Reading, is going to end up on the all-conference team as well. So good things there. But Michigan Center has a very tough defensive team. They averaged 9 points a game allowed on defense, a little bit over 9 points a game, I should say. They're one of the few teams in the area that outscored their opponents by plus 200 points, and that's a lot, especially for a Cascades Conference team where usually these guys will just beat up on each other left, right, and sideways. So it'll be a tale of two quarterbacks here, really, for Michigan Center. Jake Nichols, do we see the consistency and the skill that he showed in games like against East Jackson, where they hung 62 points, or do we see the Jake Nichols of week one where he threw three interceptions? So he can go either way. He's not afraid to chuck the ball around the yard, so it'll be really, really interesting to see which offense comes out and if that stout defense can hold up against an all-conference lineman from the Big 8.
Well, what I always like to point out about Michigan Center, Jason, as we mentioned, Reading's got a kid in Ethan Lopresto, who's a co-MVP of the league, running back that they're keying on, a guy that they're looking out for. Michigan Center, what do you say the same thing? Who do you key on? There's not one guy. It's a handful of guys. There's five or six guys who will touch the ball with regularity in their offense. So there's not. You shut down one guy, they got two or three other guys already ready to step into that lead role.
Yeah.
And even with that being said, you know, you're going to keep an eye on Rowe out of the backfield. You're going to keep an eye on Rayfield Johnson in the receiving game. And then you'd always toss in Torty. There's a lot of names that we got familiar with. But if, like I said, a multitude of weapons that Michigan Center uses throughout the game. So tough to key or shut down any one part of what they do well.
Yeah, and let's not forget the guys, the secondary guys behind that. You know, you mentioned Torty, who has no fear, and Jake Nichols has a lot of weapons, and Rowe, and Rayfield Johnson, who's the leading wide receiver for the team. But you've also got guys like Hunter Horsch. Dawson Brown has showed flashes of brilliance in the last handful of weeks. You've got guys like Patrick Height on the defensive side of the ball. Spencer Hinkle will come in on offense every now and again, and their short yardage packages to block. We've seen him carry the ball a handful of times. So a lot of weapons. We've seen Michigan Center be able to score touchdowns, five or six different players scored on homecoming. So be interesting to see, and it'll be a great game. I'm looking forward to it.
And about to kick the football off is Williams from Michigan Center, and he could be a weapon that can make a difference in a close game against Reading as he kicks that one down to the 3-yard line. It's fielded, the return team, taking it to the 20, hit, spins off, still getting on his feet, jumps over the 25, and they take the legs out. He'll go out of bounds, and it looks like they got it set there at the 26-yard line where Reading will come out with their first possession.
Nick Torty on the special teams tackle there. Torty, one of the assistant coaches a couple of weeks ago, told us, the kid has no fear. He'll run headlong into a wall, returning the ball on special teams. He'll play the other side of special teams. Plays safety, sort of a deep center field type safety. So he's everywhere.
Reading comes out of the huddle. You got three backs in the backfield. Two wide receivers split. Out of the backfield in motion. That's going to be a handoff on first down. Burst into the line. They mentioned he had some speed, and you saw that on the first down play. Carries it up to the 32-yard line. Second down and five. But the burst of speed was evident right from the get-go there, Jason.
Yeah, he got to the second level with some quickness there. Good job by Nick Torty to step up and make that stop.
The press of the deep back again. Alex Price under center. And there's another give. The ground game gets a first down for Reading. He's over the 40 to the 41-yard line. First down and 10 for Reading. Moving it easily on first and second down. A couple different running backs toting the rock so far. That was Anthony Willoughby, I believe, on the second down play. Give again goes to Lopresto. He's hit, and this time they'll stop him at about 3 yards, and the football came loose at the end, but they're going to whistle him down. So they actually will move that spot up to the 45, just on the nose of the 45-yard line, second down and about six for the Reading Rangers out here in the, I called them ketchup and mustard in the pregame, Jason, red and yellow.
The old McDonald's uniforms there. At least the numbers are easy to read.
I thought that very same thing. Give to the fullback, and he's able to grind ahead for about 5 of the 6 yards they needed for a first down, just shy of midfield.
Defense has been anchored so far by Andy Pulaski, Nick Torty, making tackles all over the field. Drew Salmon also in on that stop for Michigan Center.
Looks like they actually got about two to get the first down here. Third down play for the Reading Rangers.
Watch for a fake to Lopresto. They seem to be focusing on him quite a bit.
They'll go to him on this play. He's through the line. Spans into the secondary. Foot race to the end zone. Nobody's going to catch him. Lopresto into the end zone for a Reading touchdown. Third and short. He burst through the line. Spun his way through. Turn on the afterburners. He's into the end zone. Now with 9:48 to go first quarter. 6-0 Reading. Michigan Center is going to have to figure out an answer for this powerful Reading rushing attack.
And there we saw it. Ethan Lopresto has the speed. That's why he was the Big 8 co-MVP this year. He's still got another year of eligibility. Just a junior, 5'7", a speedy 165 out of that young man. And we saw the extra burst, got him into the second level. Nice spin move. And we'll get some flags down on the extra point try.
And that's going to go against Michigan Center, so they'll get a little bit easier try here on the point after attempt. Nothing through the air on that possession, Jason, all on the ground.
Man, you see why. I mean, it works for him, and Lopresto is impressing early.
And now they come out with a two-point try after the penalty. Big formation, three backs. And that's Lopresto carrying it in for the two-point conversion. Make it 8-0 Reading on the board first. 30-second break. We're back with a kickoff. Michigan Center will try to keep pace on K105.3's Football Frenzy. All right, we're keeping it here during the transition as the kickoff team huddles up on the field. Michigan Center looking to return. Quick start for Reading, and again, all on the ground. Three different runners carried the rock for him. So Elijah Strine, Anthony Willoughby, and, of course, the big 51-yard touchdown scamper from Ethan Lopresto. And 9:48 left on our first quarter clock. This one, it could be a high-scoring affair, Jason, with that kind of start.
Yeah, and this is a Michigan Center team that doesn't give up a whole lot of points, as we mentioned in the pregame, just over 9 a game, and they have already given up 8. A little squib kick here.
The Cardinals moving the football, pick it up and run. Rayfield Johnson, one of the most slippery players in the area.
He's one of their leading wide receivers as well, so good start, good field position for Michigan Center to get things kicked off here.
43-yard line for the Cardinals, first and 10. And they actually, their offense has a similar look to what Reading does in,
yes,
in the formation. They tend to send their guys out a little wider, and the quarterback comes out of the shotgun, but it's still basically, essentially three backs. Cardinals have two receivers to the left for Nichols in motion, and a pitch out to the left, and that's going to be met for a loss. That's going to push him back to the 41. On the first down carry for Michigan Center is Hunter Horsch.
Anthony Willoughby on the tackle there, and it was an interesting formation. Spencer Hinkle, one of their defensive linemen, was lined out wide on the offense, sort of to the direction of the formation to kind of lead those blocks. So a very interesting formation to start off the drive.
They lose just one on the play, second down and 11. And in motion, this time it's Rowe. They give it to the up back, and he's hit immediately. Big tackle, Brendan Hutchins brought down. No room to run. Now it's going to be third down to 13 for Michigan Center.
And that is Nick Affolder with the tackle.
Just a sophomore at 6'3", 288, Jason.
Yeah, he's got some growing to do, and that's not going to be pretty for the Big 8.
As we mentioned, also on the defense there, you've got Ben Affolder. And I can only imagine those two brothers Ben goes 6'2", 249, plays linebacker. So there's a couple big boys on the reading defense. Back to pass. A lot of time. Nichols couldn't find anybody open. Good blocking back there, and he does get it into the flat. It's caught and well defended. They are going to get some positive yardage on the play, but it'll be brought down at the 47-yard line. It's going to be 48, let's call it, and that'll bring up 4th and 7. So they still come up short of the first down, and with the punt unit on the field.
Jake Nichols got lucky there when he spun back around. The two reading defenders kind of tripped one of the other up, and then he got a good block to spring him free. But a dangerous scramble there by Nichols.
There's your punt, and it's high. Well covered. Takes a cardinal bounce inside the 20 and a roll down to about the 17-yard line where Rating will get the football back in Michigan Center. We'll try to shut down that powerful run offense that got into the end zone quickly in their first possession.
Yeah, you saw the a lot of the defense focusing very, very early on Lopresto. They went to the fullback a handful of times, got some of that pressure off of him, and then it was just enough to spring him free.
Certainly when you have that much success on the ground, Jason, you can parlay that into some play action and get some stuff going, big plays through the air. So
yeah, absolutely. It opens up the playbook significantly, as we see here with an empty backfield.
Empty backfield for Reading.
No one covering Lopresto either.
And they give it jet sweep to the receiver coming the other way. Cuts it upfield. He is going to get tackled, pulled down just over the 20. And it looks like he might have rolled ahead to the 22. David Bignell on the run.
Nick Torti has his 4th tackle of the game already. And we're only, 5 minutes into this game.
2nd and 7 for Reading with 7:02 on the clock, ticking away. Back to that formation we saw them run through that entire first possession. QB under center, Alex Price. Runner in motion, they give to Lopresto off tackle. Slides his way through for a couple yards. He's going to be shy of the first down, maybe. Depending on the spot here, it's going to be close. Nope, they'll signal first down.
Yep.
1st and 10 for the Rangers at the 28-yard line in their own territory, but driving again.
Yeah, that first level's got to do something to break free of those blocks and at least make contact with Lopresto, because he's not even being touched until he gets to that second level in the linebackers.
And again, as we were talking about the big players on defense, though, all those big players are on that offensive line too, so Reading's got some size. Pitch out to Lopresto. Defense slips through, and it takes 3 guys to bring him down. Initially, there was some penetration on the defense, and he's hitting the backfield, and I'm trying to get a number, 56. Drew Salmon.
Yes.
Turned him around, but took a couple of other kids, and then I want to give credit to Abel Compton also for making a big defense play. And Lopresto will get stopped for a loss. They're going to put it back 3 yards, 2nd down to 13 for Reading.
And that might be the spark that this center defense needs. They've got to focus on Lopresto, but you don't want to focus too hard on him. And if you can get him to for a couple of losses, that'll do wonders for your defense.
3 wide with a shotgun. Lopresto in the backfield. Fake the give to the receiver again. Lopresto takes the handoff, and the Cardinals are all over it. A flock of Cardinals bring him down. 5.5 to go in the first quarter. We got a 3rd and long scenario for Reading.
And a great job there by Abel Compton to wrap him up high. That seems to be the big issue with center early on with Lopresto, was trying to take out the legs, and it just wasn't working. So he went up high, wrapped him up, and laid a big hit on him.
So they'll come out again, 3 wide receivers, shotgun formation. Lopresto in the backfield next to Price. Takes the snap, back to pass for the first time. Got an arm down the sideline, got a man open, overthrew him. He had 3 steps on the defender. If that pass is on the button, it's a touchdown with the flag on the opposite side of the field.
There was no Cardinals around him either. That's number 3, Cole Boyd, for Reading, but not too many Cardinals sitting around, so I'm not really sure what the flag is going to be for here. Ineligible receiver downfield.
So that goes against Reading. And they'll decline that. Bring up 4th down and 12. So Michigan Center comes up with a big stop. And again, it was that big play.
Yeah.
I think it was Abel Compton who actually burst through the line to get that first hit on the running back. And then again, number 56.
Drew Salmon.
Drew Salmon actually the one to bring him down. So they'll put the punt unit on the field. Reading gets the kick away.
Good punt.
Nice punt. Nice high. Fair catch signaled for. And Michigan Center will take over the 38-9-yard line. Not a lot of forward progress gained by the Michigan Center offense on their first possession. We'll see what they do here. The second chance under 5 minutes to go in this first quarter. K105.3 Football Frenzy. We're going to find out soon who gets to drive home that Art Main Chevrolet 2018 Chevy Equinox.
I know it won't be me.
And I know it won't be me.
I'd like it to be me, though.
Another 10 people signed up tonight. We'll get that list going on the air. I ran into somebody when I got here who recognized us from last time we were here and said, hey, I think I got signed up. When's that party? I need to find out how I'm going to win my car. As Nichols takes the snap, this time some
space
room to run. And we get up over the 50, cuts it back in at the 40. He's hit down to the 35-yard line into Reading territory and a big carry. And that is flag. Number one, Brady Rowe, and now we get a flag. A little extracurricular activity, and I don't know who that's going to go against.
Yeah, that might go against Reading. I didn't really see a whole lot of Cardinals in the area, but it looks like Williams is a little bit demonstrative. So that may be
personal foul. Yep. Goes against Cardinals.
Go against the Cardinals. The fan base not too thrilled with that call.
Jason, you can't afford to have something like that happen, however, when you have your first big play, a chance to really seize a little momentum in this game. You're trailing by 8 at home. 15 yards just doesn't do anything good for you. You might feel tough when you do it or cool, but it just hurts the team, and nothing's cooler than winning. It's first down, but now they're back inside their own 50-yard line. Well, then let's call it the 50, the nose of the football.
Yeah.
Resting on the line.
Yeah, and it looks like that was going to go against Brian Williams. He came off the field, and he's like, I don't know what I did. So that's a tough break because Williams is a very talented player. You want him to be on the field as much as humanly possible, but you can't have those costly mistakes.
Well, and, you know, I don't know what the referees hear down on the field.
Yeah.
And if somebody said something or did something, maybe the official doesn't know exactly who it was. So Williams got tagged with it, but Nichols takes a snap. They're in a similar play. Rowe coming to the left side. He dips a tackler. He's over the 50. Down to the 47.
And that is co-MVP of the league, Ben Affolder, with the tackle. His first of the game.
So the Cardinals get into Reading territory. You were mentioning Brian Williams' abilities. He was all conference as a kicker.
He's got a boot.
Nick Torti and Hunter Horse also recognized in the all-conference team for the Cascades Conference for Michigan Center.
Center had an offensive tackle recognized as well.
Pistol for the Cardinals. Nichols rolls out, throws. He's got the first down marker to Rayfield Johnson. Spins away from a tackler on his feet. Down to the 32. Rayfield Johnson with a nice throw and catch there. Jake Nichols. Design pass play. Rolled right out, and just there was Rayfield standing alone. Bang, bang, play. And a first down for the Cardinals, and now you're starting to see him move the football a little bit. Sees a little momentum. We've got 3.5 to go first quarter.
Yeah, and a good job there that Rayfield Johnson on that catch. He is Michigan Center's leading receiver in both catches and yards. Cole Boyd was the last man to beat. Did a good job wrapping him up there.
Only one receiver here for the Cardinals. The snap is on the ground. Nichols able to pick it up and get it to Rowe, and he goes to the right side, and he's going to get about 4 yards on the carry for Michigan Center. Second down and 6.5. Put it just shy of the 30-yard line in Reading territory. Second down.
Oh, that's not good. Brady Rowe is limping off the field.
Hopping.
Brady. He's hopping, probably twisted up an ankle on that tackle there.
And you can see he's got his sock down, and that's not a good sign for Michigan Center. He's potentially their best runner.
Yeah, you heard him smack the bench there. He is their leading rusher this year. It's been a multifaceted attack, but Brady has been the featured back for the most part for this team. So it'll be on Hunter Horsch lining up in the backfield now.
Got a pistol, but they send a wing in motion. Now the handoff is to the back. No, they
pitched
it out.
Good play. That's Dawson Brown on the option play.
Absolutely fooled me on the fake handoff, Jason. Dawson Brown coming around the left edge, able to get a couple yards out of the play. And Michigan Center is going to have a third down at about a yard.
Dawson with a little bit of a bobble.
No, there's first down.
Yeah. Okay.
Me and the guy holding the down marker were on the same page. He had a flip to the third down. The officials changed their mind. First and 10 for Michigan Center from the 23-yard line. Continuing to work the ball into Reading territory.
Dawson Brown, a little bit of a bobble there, but it actually worked to his advantage because he was able to get a little bit farther outside and get around to the edge. He will line up in the backfield.
I haven't seen him have a foot race, but I'm going to bet you that Dawson Brown is one of the top three fastest kids on the field today, let alone just for Michigan Center. And Nichols to pass. Hit as he throws, but he does complete it. Down to Horsch, and that's going to be at the 20-yard line.
Hunter Horsch for Michigan Center, made by Reading number 52, Ben Affolder.
Ben Affolder making up for lost time, his third tackle on this series and of the game. Good job there by Nichols to make something out of nothing. Good heads-up play also by Hunter Horsch to get into some open space and just sit tight.
Second and 7 for Michigan Center.
And that is a lost art on young receivers. When you see your quarterback in trouble, get to some open space and hope the ball comes your way.
You can see Rose back on his feet, but he's not walking comfortably. We'll keep an eye on that out of the shotgun. Nichols rolling out again. Going to the
open
end zone. And it was a jump ball out of the back of the end zone. Rayfield Johnson gave it a go, but couldn't pull it in. It almost looked like, Jason, as he got out past the edge, that Nichols probably could have pulled that down and run for the first down marker and then some. Instead, he opts for the throw to the back of the end zone. Johnson gave it a go. Incomplete.
Yeah, and that was a good throw by Nichols. Probably one of the better ones we've seen from him in the few times we've seen Michigan Center play. One of those passes where only the wide receiver was going to get it. If it was going to come down as an interception, he was going to be out of bounds anyway. So a good heads-up throw there to try to get it where only his receiver could land it. But you're right, he had plenty of room on the outside trying to avoid the rush by Ethan Lopresto, who blasted through the line and got just absolutely leveled the tailback back to block.
Out of shotgun now again for Nichols, and we get some motion from the Cardinals, and they're going to hurt themselves a little bit there. Third and 7 is going to be third and 12. And with a minute 31, Michigan Center. Looks like a mistake is going to hurt their drive. Score update from our friends at Withington Stadium. Jackson High 7, Lansing Everett 7. Early in that tilt. Cardinals huddled up on the field. 8-0. Our score. Reading able to get into the end zone on their first drive. Michigan Center stalled them on their second drive. Now the Cardinals trying to answer with points here. Long third down play. Dawson Brown in motion. And Nichols back to pass. Looking outfield. There's the throw. He's got Brown in the end zone. And well defended. Had it in his hands. Jarred loose at the end of the play before he could bring it down. Anthony Willoughby on the stop.
Yeah, great defensive effort there by Willoughby. Just a fantastic job. Didn't really have a chance to defend at the ball. His only shot was to put a hit on the receiver and hope the ball got knocked loose, and that's exactly what happened. And a great job defending against the 6 points. So that'll bring Brian Williams out to try a field goal attempt. Williams, this will be a 42-yarder.
There's the kick. The hold is down. The kick looks good from here.
Looks real good. That is very good.
Through.
Wow.
42-yard boot for Brian Williams. Michigan Center's on the scoreboard. And that's that weapon we talked about, Jason. Most of the games we watch, that's a third down or a fourth down pass play. maybe you get it, maybe you don't. You turn over the ball with no points. Meanwhile, Michigan Center, with that big boot from Williams, gets on the board. Trailing 8-3. We'll take a 30-second break on the Football Frenzy. We'll be back with a kickoff.
Forget what you know about fours, for we're forcing flavor fortitude right at your forehead. Introducing Denny's 4 for $4 menu. Four dishes, $4. Enjoy flavor-forged meals like our biscuits and gravy and the shareable turtle sundae. And don't forget about all-you-can-eat pancakes and the Everyday Value Slam. They're delicious, times forever. Plus, since they're just $4 on the 2-4-6-8 value menu, they're totally affordable.
Denny's, welcome to America's Diner. For a limited time only, price and participation may vary.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith, after the 42-yard boot, Williams set the kickoff. And he'll put this one high in the air, fielded at the 4-yard line. And it looks like that is Lopresto on the return. He's brought down right at the 20. Good kick coverage by the Cardinals. And that's where Reading will start, first and 10.
Number 20 from Reading, Ethan Lopresto, is the return.
1:15 to go first quarter, 8-3. Michigan Center trails at home. Able to get a good stop against Reading on their last possession. I'd like to build on whatever you think you figured out about them last time, so the Michigan Center defense knows they can stop them.
Reading some of the Twitter reaction from some of the people who were a little bit closer to the field, they said that probably would have easily been good from 50.
Four wideouts for Reading. They hand off to Lopresto. No, the QB's going to keep it. He's got a little bit of room to run up the sideline. He's pulled down, however. And that'll get him to the 25. Nice tackling by the Cardinals.
Stopped by Patrick Height in on that tackle.
QB Alex Price, 6'2", 185, junior. A lot of 11s on this roster, Jason. This could be a opportunity for Reading to be good for a little while here.
Yeah, and you have Ethan Lopresto, who's a junior, and then Ben Affolder, the two co-MVPs. Affolder's a sophomore.
And Price fakes the give to Lopresto again. This time he's hit with no gain. Matter of fact, that's going to lose him about 4 yards. Third and eight. Looks like that'll be the last play of the quarter, however, as it ticks down. I don't think they're going to rush up to the line to sneak into play. 10 seconds to go.
Andy Pulaski with his third tackle of the game for Michigan Center there. And it looks like, yep, they are going to let the quarter expire. Starting to feel the momentum turn a little here, Steve.
We'll get that third down play when we return from a quick break. 1 minute coming up. 8-3, Reading leaves Michigan Center. Third down in the second quarter next on the Football Frenzy.
Michigan Center Schools would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to the Michigan Center community for their role in supporting the exciting changes that have occurred throughout the Michigan Center School District.
My name is Jamarian, and I want to say thank you for the new gymnasium and new doors and parking lot improvements at Arnold Elementary.
I'm Caden Sherboff. Thank you for the brand new preschool room, new bus and drop-off, parking loops, new lockers, new bleachers, refinished gym floor, and brand new kitchen area at Kiker Elementary.
I'm Tegan. We are thrilled at the junior senior high to have a renovated athletic complex, multi-purpose room, new kitchen, expanded cafeteria, 21st century student commons area, and enhanced technology.
Thank you, Michigan Center!
Michigan Center Schools, where success begins.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football, right here on K105.3.
So we'll switch ends here at Michigan Center High School. The Reading Rangers now moving right to left on your radio dial. A third down and eight play. 12 minutes on the clock for the second quarter. 8-3, Reading leads. Shotgun empty backfield for Price. Looking downfield, he's got a man up the seam. Had it momentarily, but eventually jarred loose, and Lopresto, the intended receiver on the play, incomplete. Fourth down and eight for Reading. Backed up in their own zone. I'm expecting a punt.
And a good job there by Nick Torti, who had a 15-yard advantage there to just barely keep up with Lopresto on that play. And Reading does have the punt team out. Johnson and Torti back deep for the Cardinals.
Good snap. And the kick is high. It's going to come down the 50.
Ooh.
Botched reception for a moment. He picks it up and is just absolutely steamrolled.
Flags on the play as well.
Yeah, and I don't think they gave him enough room to make the catch.
And Ben Affolder was the one who made the stop for Reading.
Just absolutely ran over Torti.
That's a block in the back on Michigan center.
Is it? So it looks like they were spotting it on the 49. And they will call it against the Cardinals.
Not a penalty you want to take here, but still halfway decent field position.
Oh, won't be bad from the 38-yard line. Troubling if you're the Michigan Center Cardinals coaching staff. Where would you be minus the penalties at this point? I think you're glad to be at 8-3 with the football, but would have liked to get into the end zone on that last possession. They'll try it here, however. Nichols out of the shotgun. And they send Horsch in motion. He takes the handoff. He's got some room to run.
Yeah,
into the second level over the 50. Tripped up a little bit, and he'll tumble forward to about the 45. Upset with himself because no real contact. He just got kind of tripped a little bit and lost his footing on the cut. But a really nice play for the Cardinals on first down, and they'll set themselves up with a first and 10 from the Reading 46-yard line.
Yeah, he had two guys to beat, rather, and a blocker in front of him. Tried to get the blocker to be able to sort of use him as a pick, and in the cut move to try to get that to happen, he sort of lost his balance and stumbled around.
Well-blocked play for the Cardinals. Nichols and Roback on the field in motion. They give it. No, Nichols keeps. Nichols will grab about 3 yards on the carry. Again, Jason, worth mentioning that Rowe is back on the field. So.
Yeah, that's a good sign, too. I mean, you're happy that you've got a young man like Hunter Horsch who can step up and make big plays when you need him to in Rowe's absence. Gives you just another weapon there, but it's also good that Rowe is back up and moving around just fine. And we'll see what can happen here. Got him lined up as a wing instead of directly behind the quarterback the last couple of plays.
Horses in motion. They give it to the up back, tailback, and then that carry for Michigan Center is Jake Haskell. And he'll get a yard or two maybe. We'll get a third down and six play.
And the Affolter brothers now combining for six tackles in this game. Ben with four and Nick with two. Very formidable combo. And they're both sophomores, so they will get the Affolter brothers for at least another 2 years.
Out of the shotgun, they fake the give to Rowe. Now passing out of the backfield, and it's incomplete. He was facing a shot in the mouth if he catches that one. Haskell dropped it out in the flat. And that'll bring up a fourth and six play. And it looks like the punt unit's going to come out of the field for Michigan Center.
Yeah, it might be just a hair out of the range of Brian Williams. That was Justin Strunken on the pressure.
Just a hair out of his range?
Just a touch.
It would have been about a 57-yard field goal?
It wouldn't surprise me if he could hit it. That's a loose ball.
Muffed on the punt reception, but a couple of heads-up Reading players dove on that one. Michigan Center never really had a shot at it. What you do like about the play if you're Michigan Center is that sets up your opponent inside of their own 10-yard line, and the field position battle right now going all Michigan Center's way. Under 10 minutes to go in this first half. It's still 8-3 Reading. And again, they have a first and 10 from their 8-yard line. Bunch formation for Reading. Handoff to the running back. He's got some room. Nice first down play. He's going to get out to about the 17, real close to a first down marker. And again, that is Ethan Lopresto on the carry. 8-3 our score, 9:22. Second down and 2 yards.
It's been a well-played, swift-moving game so far.
This one's up to the fullback, and he bursts through the line and rumbles ahead. He's got the first down for Reading and then some out to the 28-yard line. On the carry, Anthony Willoughby.
That was Elijah.
Sorry, the guy, Elijah Strine.
Strine, yeah. Andy Pulaski.
I thought he looked bigger than Willoughby's a little smaller, speedier kid. That big bunch formation working for Reading, they'll stick with it. This time they go to Willoughby, and he's into the second level. He's got a foot race going on to the 40. 35. Wrestled down at about the 32, but a big play for Reading. And just when it looked like the field position battle was going Michigan Center's way, Reading flips the script. First and 10 from the Michigan Center, 33.
Yeah, Dawson Doran, the last guy to beat there. Good job coming from the other side of the field on that pursuit to bring down Willoughby, and there you see that explosive burst really from all three of those backs in the backfield. They can go in any direction, and they've all got a good burst.
Strine in motion, gives to Willoughby again on first down, and he's able to rumble ahead, give him 4 yards on the first down play, and the Reading running game has found some rhythm again.
And we were just talking about how Michigan Center was really focused on that run defense, and it had worked to their advantage for a while, but they've kind of slipped here in the last few minutes.
I guess I was premature with my 4 yards on the first down play. Let's call it 2 yards, second and 8. And again, they go to the fullback this time, hit at the line. Brought down for no gain. Third down and 8.
Yeah, and that's the difference that you see there between the Reading offensive line being able to get that burst and hold that first level of attack from Michigan Center at bay. If they can get a hand on the tailback, then they can make some plays happen. But if those tailbacks get into that second level, they're very dangerous.
Just one wide receiver on the play for Reading. Tight formation. That gives it a little presto. He's hit. Spins off a big shot. He's going to be close to that first down marker. He took a shot and just spun away, Jason, and was able to keep that momentum moving forward. They do come up short of the first down, and we'll call it fourth and 2. 7 minutes to go, and I don't think they have Brian Williams over there kicking for him, so I think we'll see a fourth and short run attempt.
Yeah, looks like the quarterback's coming out there to make that play. And that was Brendan Hutchins who broke through the line. Couldn't quite wrap up Lopresto. And you see that speed as he shook that tackle off and was gone.
Big play here for the Cardinals, fourth and 2. And it gives to Lopresto, and he's hit. And they're going to bottle him up. Big stop by the Cardinal defense on fourth down.
Spencer Hinkle getting in there to make the stop. And Lopresto is down now. That's not good. Especially
kind of riding in pain, yeah, but he looks like he's making his way to his feet.
Yeah.
Limping a little bit, and I can't quite tell where it's originating, Jason. Maybe a hit.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a stinger. He got wrapped up pretty good there in the midsection, and that could be, it looks like he's favoring that right hip area.
Great defensive read by the Cardinals. And Jason, at 8-3 with 6:29 to go in the half. Not a lot of scoring, but it's been a fun football game to watch. Big defensive plays and offensive plays on both sides. And this is kind of what we were hoping for and pretty much what we expected to see, a back-and-forth battle between two of the best football teams in their conferences in the area.
Yeah, now you're starting to see the Michigan Center sideline get a little fired up here. We'll see what quarterback Jake Nichols can do.
And he's going to give it to running back on first and 10 from the Cardinal 25. No room to run for Rowe. And he'll get maybe an inch or two. Second down and 10 for Michigan Center. Stay tuned at the half for the Collins Brothers floor covering halftime report. We'll take a look at the Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Not a ton of games going on tonight, but we'll get as many of the scores as we can for you. And we'll get our Denny's on-demand halftime stats. Nichols out of a shotgun, one back. And again, the snap goes onto the ground. Nichols picks it up, tosses it out.
He got it!
40 up the left sideline.
That's Dawson Doring.
Dawson Doring at the 10. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Big play. Now we got a flag up the right sideline, Jason. Far away from the play.
And they're trying to get the center team back. And
call sideline interference. That's what it looks like.
Looks like it, yeah.
Up the right left sideline, the defender made a great leap to try and get that pass, but it was just a little too high. And as you said, Jason, Jake Haskell.
Oh, they're going to pick that up.
The flag won't have an effect. 9-8 Cardinals lead, chance to make it 10-8 with an extra point try here and a big play swing. Michigan Center. Ryan Williams with the kick. It's good. 5:38 to go in the half. 10-8 Michigan Center. 30-second commercial break. We'll be back with more football on the K105.3 Frenzy.
Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain field, driveway repair, and everything landscaping. Fall is here and winter is looming, so repair your muddy driveway with Lester Brothers' multiple varieties of driveway gravel before more damage is caused from winter potholes. Need your septic tank pumped? Call Lester Brothers. Need screen topsoil to finish off those year-end landscaping jobs? Call Lester Brothers. Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain fields, driveway repair, septic tank, and everything landscaping. Call Lester Brothers today or visit lesterbros.com.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith on the broadcast for Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm. Tomorrow is going to be an absolutely perfect day to head out to Meckley's and take advantage of what they've got going on for the fall season. You don't get a lot of 75-degree sunny Saturdays in late October, so
get out
to Meckley's and take advantage. Kickoff coming for Brian Williams. He's been an important part of the game today. And that's going to bounce at the 5 and roll into the end zone. And Reading will take it at the 20. Michigan Center taking the lead back with 5:38 to go in the half, 10-8. And now we'll see if the defense can continue to keep Reading out of the end zone. Bend but don't break a little bit on the last run there. Made their stand at the 20-yard line, 25-yard line, I suppose. Now they got 5.5 to keep Reading out of the end zone again. Michigan Center. And if you're curious to see where everybody's going to be playing next week, you can tune in the Selection Sunday show for the MHSAA on Fox Sports Detroit Plus. That's Sunday night at 7 p.m.
We are curious as well. A little bit of speculation floating around.
Oh, I'll be tuned in, and we'll be updating that on the web for sure. As soon as we know where everybody's going to be. Well, Presto chugging the legs, absolutely battling for some yardage there. He will get it out to the 25. He's dragged down, second down, and a long 5 yards for Reading.
Yeah, he really earned those.
Yellow helmets, red shorts, white jersey with the red lettering. They're Reading Rangers.
Much easier to read than some of our previous games.
Absolutely. Last week we just could not see a number for the life of us. We're still making mistakes. We do have a confirmation. Jake Haskell on the touchdown for Michigan Center. A handoff on second down, and again, hit early and battling for extra yardage. Drug it up close to that first down marker. Should be third and short for Reading. Absolutely. Do not say die when they get hit out of that backfield for Reading. On the carry, I've seen Willoughby.
Yeah, and you're starting to see a lot of these the second level guys racking up the tackles here. Not a good sign.
Big formation on third down and short. Handoff is hit, and did he get it? It's going to matter a lot on the spot, Jason, but it's close to a first down for Reading. And I'm going to say he got it.
Yeah,
and
everybody's signaling agree, first yep. down.
That time, the big man on the carry is Elijah Strine for the Rangers. First down and 10, 31-yard line for Reading in their own territory, but driving. Right now, they're working against the clock a little bit. 4 minutes, 10 seconds left in the half. Shotgun. Back to pass, Price, and he's got a man in the seam, and he's through, just tackled at the 50-yard line. On the reception is Tyler Winnie, 5'10", 166 junior, and Reading will get to midfield. Fresh yes. set of downs.
Spencer Hinkle making the touchdown-saving tackle there. His third of the game.
10-8 our score, 3:50 left on the first half clock for the Reading Rangers. Current drive out of the shotgun for Price. Back to pass again. Gets some pressure,
trouble.
Eludes it. Now he's going to pull down and run. Cuts it up. He's got 5, now 7, 8, 9 yards on the carry. On the scramble for Price. Abel Compton with a tackle. We'll get it to the 41-yard line. Second down and short for Reading. Clock continues to tick now down to 3:20.
You look at the leading tacklers for Michigan Center. Nick Torti has 4. He's a safety. Andy Pulaski has 6. He's a linebacker. Abel Compton with 4, a linebacker. Spencer Hinkle with 3. He's a sort of a nickel linebacker hybrid. Not a good sign if you're Michigan Center defense.
I formation now for Reading. And the gives to the fullback, Strine. He's got the first down. They did stop forward progress, but that spot should be enough for the fresh set of downs. That'll move the chains.
Yeah, it looks like it is.
Stop the clock. And that official mark of the spots. In the yeah, they'll move the chains. Steady drive here for Reading. Clock starts again, 2:45 on the halftime clock here. 1st and 10 for the
fumble.
40. Fumbled and still loose. And we got a
dive. Got
Cardinals
it.
Think they got it.
Loose ball. Clear the pile.
No signal yet.
It's going to be second down.
Looks like Reading kept it.
Yeah, the officials were signaling second down. It's a rare mistake by the backfield for Reading on the fumble. 2:05 and ticking now.
Second down and 8, 37, 38-yard line. Well, that's 7. That opposite hash is an optical illusion. We're under 2 minutes, though. Shotgun formation, low press on the backfield with Price for Reading. He goes in motion, and now it's empty. They're looking for him on the wheel route. Pressure coming. Price eludes it. Gets it to the open man in the middle of the line. He's got some blockers up to the sideline. He's into the 35 down to the 32-yard line, and we got a flag on the opposite side of the field, and it looks like it's going to be a hold.
Yeah, that may come back. Right around the line of scrimmage areas where the flag ended up, and an eligible receiver downfield.
You know, I don't know that we've seen that call but once or twice all year. Mm-hmm. Now it's twice in the same game.
Yeah.
But when you have that kind of scrambling and that time, and then the way when he throws that pass to that
yeah.
that to Strine on the reception, and you see that there are blockers in front of him,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty good evidence that somebody who shouldn't have been downfield was downfield.
Yeah, and that's, you know, quarterbacks, they always talk about them having an internal clock. You know, when you snap the ball, you count and you get the ball away. Offensive linemen are the same way. They have an internal clock, too, because it's not like they're standing watching the quarterback throw the football. They're working a job, too. Mm. So they have their internal clock, and at some point you have to shed your block and go downfield, and that just didn't quite happen.
Second and 12, empty backfield. Price back to throw. He gets this one away quickly. Nobody there, and nearly picked off by Hunter Horsch. He looked like the intended receiver on the play almost. It looks like a miscommunication on the route for the receiver. Incomplete. Third down and 12 for Reading with a minute 14 to go. And the ball spotted at the Michigan Center 42-yard line.
Yeah, you had David Bignall, the wide receiver, down the field. Looks like he was running a post route, and the ball went sort of on a seam type of deep route there. Wasn't expecting the cut.
Long third down play. Big play for Reading with a minute 14 to go. Big play for the Michigan Center defense. And they'll step back to play those passing lanes. Price rolling out. Little pressure. He'll get chased to the sideline. Hit, and it throws it, and that's incomplete.
And likely not an intentional grounding play. They would decline it anyway, most likely. But hit as he threw, so making the attempt to get within 5 yards of a receiver.
Clock stops at 1:08 as the all-conference kids are lined up on our end zone. We'll get those guys announced at halftime, and we'll give you the list here that we've got up in the press box. And the punt unit on the field for Reading, still 1:08 on the clock. And dangerous return man, Rayfield Johnson. We've seen him have some big returns for Michigan Center in the couple games we've watched. Nice punt by Reading.
He's gonna
directional, and that's going to bounce at the 15 and roll right into Cardinal territory deep. Put it at the 6-yard line. So the Cardinals with 58.9. I'd like to see that clock count away. They'll get the ball to start the second half. So you want to take those couple seconds off the clock and get out of here with your 10-8 lead in the half.
Yeah, and if you're Michigan Center, who normally they run very, very quickly on offense, you probably won't see that on this possession with a 2-point lead buried deep in their own territory and less than a minute to go. Hand the ball off to Brady Rowe a couple of times and call it a half.
Well, and it, Reading's got all their timeouts as far as I know, Jason, so
both
maybe they want to stop the clock. There's your first down play.
Fumble.
Fumble. It's loose, and Reading thinks they have it. No signal coming yet from the official, but it looks like they do. There you go. Reading football. That's huge, Jason. 52.2. Plenty of time for the Rangers to stick one into the end zone here. Difficult mistake for Michigan Center to make. Looking to get into the halftime with the lead. Now the defense is going to have to do its part.
Yeah, they're going to have to come up strong, and they're almost definitely going to need some of that first-level defense to step up huge here and make some stops, because you know Reading is going to be looking at Lopresto and Willoughby in the backfield.
I expect to see them loaded up and just see if they can't rumble their way for 6 yards.
Yep. Looks like Strine is the up back.
The gives to Willoughby, and he bursts into the line. He's short of the goal line, but not by much. Looks like the 3-yard line from here, Jason.
Clock's still
running. We got 30 seconds on there now. Like we said, both teams have timeouts. We'll see what happens. There's the give to Lopresto, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown Reading. There's our official signal. So 21.9 on the clock. Reading sticks one into the end zone. It's a 3-yard run for Lopresto and make it 14-10.
And it looks like they're going to go for two.
They do come out in an offensive set, Jason. Price under center. The three backs we've been working with all day in the back. Now he'll look to throw. Quick snap pass. Had the man, but the bullet was too hot to handle. Incomplete. So 21.9 on our first quarter clock. 14-10 our score. We'll keep it here on the broadcast as the Cardinals go to the sideline, get ready to receive a kickoff. trailing by four now. As this last portion of our first half is taking a long time. And, Jason, we look at the stands. Both sides are pretty packed, but then when you really notice there's a lot of people is when you look at the fence all the way around.
Yes.
And there's somebody who stopped to watch from a fence spot all the way around the field here.
Definitely. Lots of people traveling very well for Reading.
I'm sure a fair amount of them come to watch their kids or their teammates or their friends be recognized for their all-conference too here. So we'll look forward to that at halftime. Of course, we'll be bringing you the Collins Brothers floor covering halftime report and the Tri-County Water Out of Town scoreboard. Denny's On Demand statistics of the game for the half too.
That's right.
So our final 21.9 coming up here. 14-10 Reading leads.
And this is a dangerous center team, too, so they could score quick.
After a fumble inside of the 5-yard line, the Cardinals. That's a low rolling kick. Bounces up, and that'll be fielded. And Dawson Brown running it, and he runs into one of his own guys. Skirts the defender, gets to the 40. He's dragged down with 16 seconds on the clock. Yeah, I don't expect Michigan Center to go out there and victory, take a knee and just get into the half. I think they'll maybe take a shot at it.
Yeah, it looks like they've got a handful of their speed guys out there. Rayfield Johnson, Brady Rowe, Hunter Horsch is out there. Doring's out there. And Patrick Height, who's normally in on blocking situations, is not on the field. So they're going to split Doring out wide. Now they'll bring him in close.
Now it looks like they will take a knee.
And, yeah.
So the Cardinals
shows what we know.
Well played game by both teams for the half. With perhaps the lone exception of that fumble that cost Michigan Center 6 points late in the half. 14-10. The Cardinals trail the Reading Rangers at home on the K105.3 Football Frenzy. We'll take a 2-minute break and we'll come back and get started on our Collins Brothers halftime report.
Computer Ties at 2903 West Michigan Avenue, next to Trips Auto Shop and Collision Center, serving your home and business technology under one roof. With on-site computer and network repairs, Computer Ties can save you time by coming by your home and assessing any issue and taking care of the problem right from your home. Computer Ties at 2903 West Michigan Avenue, next to Trips Auto Shop and Collision Center, serving your home and business technology under one roof.
Jackson Public Schools has openings in their high-quality preschool program at no cost to you. Children who are 3 or 4 by December 1st can take advantage. Locations are at Bennett, Frost, Hunt, McCulloch, and Northeast Elementary buildings. Jackson Public Schools provides nutritious meals, family support, health services, and family activities. Apply today and set the stage for their academic success. Space is limited. Call 517-784-4800 or 800-491-0004. JPS. Where community comes together.
County National Bank has watched banks come and go for decades, leaving customers frustrated by name changes and branch closings. When you open an account with County National Bank, you can bank on stability and a proven track record that comes from 80 years of serving the community. Trust your finances with a bank that is there with you, County National Bank. Learn more about opening an account at countynationalbank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 399979.
Hi, this is Jeff Bontrager, Superintendent of Northwest Community Schools. The Mountie Nation would like to welcome you to the Jackson County 2017 Fall High School Sports Season. Commitment, teamwork, leadership, dedication. We are Northwest Go Mounties.
High school football on K105.3. It's the halftime report. Now, back to the press box.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith at the half here, Michigan Center High School. The Cardinals trail the Reading Rangers 14-10 after a fumble down by their own 5-yard line. They had a real good chance to go into the half with a lead, and Reading seized on it, scored at the end of that half, and took the lead going into the locker room.
Yeah, probably the number one thing you don't want to do when you're trying to kill the clock is fumble the football, especially in your that deep in your own territory. So, costly mistake.
Halftime report here for Collins Brothers Floor Covering. And Jason and I are recently a new homeowner, and you never care more about flooring than when you buy a home. And all my wife wants to talk about is flooring, and I said, let's go to Collins Brothers, honey. So that's something that's happening in our near future.
Yeah, they'll take care of you. I would highly recommend the thermal hardwood flooring. It stays warm all the time.
Nice. I want to give a Denny's on-demand statistic of the game for me. I got the two scores for Lopresto, a 51-yard TD run in the first and then that three-yarder at the end of the half. So he started our scoring and he ended it, and it's led to Reading having a lead, 14-10. What else you got for us on the scoring aspect of the game?
Well, we started off the Michigan Center scoring with Brian Williams burying a deep 42-yard field goal, which many in the experts up here in the booth have said would easily have gone in from 50. That was followed up with Jake Nichols hitting Jake Haskell 75 yards down the field for a Michigan Center score. At that point, it was 10-8. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the three-yard touchdown run by Lopresto made it 14-10 after the failed extra point attempt. And that is where we sit at halftime for the scoring.
Denny's On Demand halftime stats. Denny's On Demand delivery. You can get Denny's pretty much anywhere now. You'll go pick it up, but it doesn't matter. They'll have it ready for you. You take it wherever you want, and you eat it. I did it on Sunday.
I was going to say, yeah, you did it this weekend.
I just did it. My wife said that burger was outstanding. It was really easy to order. I did it from my cell phone, waiting in line at the grocery store to check out. And we went over, picked up our food, and ate it delicious. I got a breakfast. I got the All-American Slam. Eggs, bacon, sausage, hash browns.
Can't beat that.
That's my go-to breakfast anywhere I go. So
yeah,
Denny's does as well as anyone, maybe even a little bit better, because you know what they put in the eggs? Cheese. I like cheese in my eggs. I don't have to have it. Yeah. But
I'm weird. I put steak sauce on my eggs.
Do you?
On scrambled eggs, yeah. I'm weird.
I don't know how weird that is. All you have to do is have it happen even once by accident.
Yeah.
And then you got steak and eggs. Right. You got some steak sauce on it.
That's right.
You realize
See, but
you
I won't
like
put
it?
Steak sauce on the steak, though, because a good steak doesn't need steak sauce.
True that. That's funny. However, yeah, Denny's.com. So, like I said, I did it from my phone. So, next time you're thinking about eating.
Super easy.
Do that. Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard, Jason. What do we have there?
Oh, we got a lot going on. Not really. It's Friday night lights, but the lights are fairly dim around the area as most of the teams around the area played last night with some of their crossover games and whatnot. But we've got three games to report on. Western leads Dexter 21-6. Northwest has taken a 14-7 lead in their game. And Hillsdale leads Columbia Central 7-0. And I think you had a Jackson High update.
The last update I had from there was 7-7, and I'll look for maybe my source can get to me before the half is over, or we can flip it over to WKHM and listen to that for a little while.
The legendary Greg O'Connor.
I did want to, while we have a moment, to recognize at least the all-conference players from both of the teams we're watching tonight. Brock Kuhn at offensive tackle for Michigan Center, Brian Williams at kicker, Patrick Height, defensive line, defensive end, Brendan Hutchins as a linebacker, Nick Torty and Hunter Horse in the defensive backfield. A lot of defensive players recognized, as you mentioned, Jason. When I think about center, I think about the creativity and offense and all the different players they go to. But you mentioned they were holding, on average, opponents were scoring less than 10 points a game. So a couple of shutouts in Michigan Center's pocket this year as well. So congrats to those guys making the all-conference team. Meanwhile, for anybody listening to us, the Reading crew has, like we mentioned in the pregame, co-MVPs of the league for the Big Eight, Ethan Lopresto and Ben Affolter. Additionally, I think Nick Affolter on the offensive line also getting all-conference recognition. Justin Strunk on the defensive line and Tyler Winnie in the defensive backfield for Reading. And they're honoring the all-conference players on the field right now. It's 8 o'clock on WKHM. FM, K105.3, Brooklyn Jackson. We will take another 2-minute break here on the halftime, and we will enjoy the MHSAA's This Week in High School Football segment. Another 2-minute break, and then we'll be back to wrap up our Collins Brothers floor covering halftime report. Again, 14-10 is our score right now at the half on the K105.3 Football Frenzy.
Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain field, driveway repair, and everything landscaping. Fall is here and winter is looming, so repair your muddy driveway with Lester Brothers' multiple varieties of driveway gravel before more damage is caused from winter potholes. Need your septic tank pumped? Call Lester Brothers. Need screen topsoil to finish off those year-end landscaping jobs? Call Lester Brothers. Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain fields, driveway repair, septic tank, and everything landscaping. Call Lester Brothers today or visit LesterBros.com.
Sports and chiropractic are a perfect match for athletes of all levels. Chiropractic is readily available to youth and high school athletes as they continue to look for ways to enhance their performance.
My name is Troy Couture, and I'm the quarterback of Lumen Christie. I've never been out of the game and had to miss a game. I've never missed a practice playing football or any sport for an injury, and I think Dr. Penn helped a lot with that. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get people back on the field.
Penn Chiropractic Center, online at docpenn.com or call 784-7443.
The perfect floor starts at Collins Brothers Floor Covering, your locally owned Abbey Carpet and Floor Showroom. Expert assistance, incredible selection, professional installation. It's right here in your neighborhood, and the October flooring sale is on now at Collins Brothers. Prices are reduced on waterproof plank flooring. Plus, get free standard installation on all carpets with padding. Buy before November 1st and save big. Collins Brothers Floor Covering on West Pearl in downtown Jackson, or call 517-782-0298.
This past January, American One Credit Union gave back over $1 million to members who chose to finance local in 2016. We've decided to make 2017 bigger and better. This year, American One is giving back $1.5 million to members. That's 50% more back to members. Get your part of the $1.5 million when you finance a secured closed-end loan at American One anytime in 2017. Call any American One branch today and ask us for details.
A Tale of Two Coaches, Goal Line Rules, and A Tale of Two Coaches. It's all next on This Week in High School Sports, powered by Michigan Student Aid, Michigan's go-to resource for student financial aid. Hi again, everyone. I'm John Johnson, and welcome to This Week in High School Sports. Last Friday night, history was honored and history was set on the gridiron. Early that evening, retired Menominee football coach Ken Hofer was honored for his 42 years of directing the Maroons. And later that night, John Harrington, the only grid coach in the history of Farmington Hills Harrison, became the state's all-time coaching victories leader. Hofer retired in 2011 as the winningest football coach ever in the Upper Peninsula, with a record of 322 wins, 146 losses, and two ties, including his two seasons at Stevenson. And he won three MHSAA football crowns in the process. He was honored during the pregame with a framed number 42 Maroons jersey.
This was a special night that gave you a very, very warm feeling inside as a result of the giving of so much by so many people and recognizing me 5 years after. It's been so much fun.
You can watch online video of that pregame ceremony as captured by MHSAA network affiliate WHYB in Menominee. Just look on the MHSAA's Twitter page for a link. Our Sparrow Health game balls this week go out to Grayling football quarterback Justin Nicholas, who attempted 72 passes, gained 616 yards through the air, and threw 8 touchdown strikes, all good for second in the MHSAA record books, and a comeback win over Benzie Central. And Riley Schloud of North Branch, who scored a school record 7 goals in a boys soccer win last week over Carroll. That ties him for 5th place in the state single game records category. Looking for the best post-workout snack? Pair protein with a carbohydrate to help your muscles recover quickly and efficiently. A tip from Sparrow, the official health system of the MHSAA. Back with more in a moment. You're listening to This Week in High School Sports.
Do you need money for college? Michigan Student Aid is Michigan's go-to resource for student financial aid. They administer scholarships, grants, college savings programs, and other resources that help make college accessible, affordable, and achievable for you. See how they can help you today by visiting michigan.gov/mystudentaid and connect with Michigan Student Aid on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram.
Our weekly Be the Referee feature takes a look at the fine art of officiating with Mark Ewell.
At all levels of football rules, the most important line on the field is always the goal line. At the high school level, there are some very unique rules that govern the goal line, especially when the defense gets possession of the ball. First is on a normal scrimmage play. If the defense gets possession of the ball in the end zone, either by picking up a fumble or intercepting a pass, that ball remains in play and the defense can return it all the way for a score. However, on an extra point play or on any kicking play, once the ball is possessed by the defense in the end zone, the ball is dead and no return or advance can be made.
Thanks, Mark. There's help wanted. Just whistle. Visit the MHSAA website now to be a referee. Now let's wrap things up here with a little more on Ken Hofer and John Harrington. Harrington made it 431 wins against 117 defeats and 7 ties with a win over Berkeley last Friday, surpassing another legend, Al Fracassa, who spent most of his days at Birmingham Brother Rice. Both Hofer and Harrington are competitive men, but men of integrity, men you respect, the kind of coach every parent would want their kid to play for. Harrington's record of 13 state championships in football will never be broken, and he'll coach at Harrison for its last football season a year from now. And I remember spending a good portion of Menominee's 2007 Division V win over Jackson Lumen Christie with Hofer in the coach's box in the press box because he could only get around in a wheelchair that day. And you could tell he was like a caged tiger wanting to be let out. At game's end, he looked up at me and said, "Do you think I can make it to the field for the trophy presentation?" And indeed, he did. But both men will remember the ring of the telephone with calls from their former players and the relationships built than they will their championship rings. Great servants, coaches, teachers, and leaders. They just don't make them like that anymore. Join us again next time for another edition of This Week in High School Sports, powered by Michigan Student Aid, a production of the MHSAA Network. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm John Johnson. We'll see you next time.
The Jackson YMCA, where everybody comes to play. Right now through October 23rd, join fees are just $5. When you're a member of the Y, you pay just $16 per month for unlimited exercise classes like TRX, Y-Spin, Pound, Yoga, Zumba, Insanity, Kick, and Aqua Exercise. There's free child watch, and Y members also receive discounts on youth programs. Register your child now for bus-in, after-school youth sports, swim lessons, and gymnastics. And ask about the new discounted youth memberships. Learn more at jacksonymca.org or call 782-0500.
Denny's new seasonal pancakes give you a taste of the holidays, even if it is a little early. Along with the taste of the holidays with pumpkin cream, cranberry orange, and white chocolate raspberry, we're going to give you some sounds of the holidays.
Ho, ho, ho!
Now some smells of the holidays. This probably wasn't a great idea for radio. Just use your imagination. Pumpkin cream. Get a taste of the holidays with Denny's new holiday pancake lineup. For a limited time only, price and participation may vary.
Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain field, driveway repair, and everything landscaping. Fall is here and winter is looming, so repair your muddy driveway with Lester Brothers' multiple varieties of driveway gravel before more damage is caused from winter potholes. Need your septic tank pumped? Call Lester Brothers. Need screened topsoil to finish off those year-end landscaping jobs? Call Lester Brothers. Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain fields, driveway repair, septic tank, and everything landscaping. Call Lester Brothers today or visit lesterbros.com.
South Central Michigan Virtual provides an interactive and media-rich education in a student-centered learning environment. Students from kindergarten through 12th grade enjoy the benefits of online learning and in-person certified teachers. Located in the Jackson Crossing Mall, SCMV utilizes state-of-the-art technology to enhance our students' learning experience, including virtual reality field trips. Tuition is free and there are over 1,500 courses available. Enroll today at miscmv.org. South Central Michigan Virtual, where learning comes alive.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith, and halftime report for Collins Brothers Floor Covering. Michigan Center trails Reading here at home 14-10 in the Big 8 Cascades Conference crossover. Good to see all the conference athletes out at halftime. And Manchester head football coach Wes Gall stepping down after the year. And they did a nice tribute to him. Got a pretty good standing ovation from the crowd here because everybody in the area knew Wes Gall and the Manchester Flying Dutchman. And that was true even back when I was in school.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has a very impressive resume and a legacy that will be tough to eclipse at whoever follows in Wes's footsteps at Manchester High School. But you think of some of the great Manchester teams that have come through. He's coached guys that have gone to the NFL with Nick Davis. I mean, so it's he's a very impressive coach, and I think Superintendent Brady Cook, when he made the announcement that Coach Gall was here, kind of hit the nail on the head when he said that, you know, the numbers and the resume is great, but you think of all the lives that coach has impacted since 1978, I think he started coaching. So, you know, that's immeasurable in the community.
Yeah, so it's nice to have a guy like that who you know has made an impact all over Manchester for a long, long time. There's a lot of people who will have a memory of Wes Gall, and that's a nice legacy to leave behind.
Absolutely.
Collins Brothers Floor Covering Halftime Report. They've been with us all year. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to find out where we'll be for the playoffs.
Yeah.
With that coming up. And, again, the Selection Sunday show this Sunday on Fox Sports Detroit Plus at 7 o'clock, and we'll be tuned into that anxiously, waiting to find out where the area teams will be going. And there are several who will be playing. Napoleon will be playing Addison, Michigan Center, and Western, it looks like, going to get that win over Dexter. That'll be their sixth win, so it looks like a playoff game for them. And Lumen Christi, of course.
Yep.
We expect that, and that's been kind of all of the discussion if we bring up the playoffs, where everyone's kind of wondering where Lumen Christi is going to go, because as a powerhouse defending state champion, they're going to have a say in whatever district they end up in. They're going to have a say in who wins that one for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Maybe more than a say.
Yeah, we've been talking to a lot of the media up here and kind of collaborating and throwing ideas off the wall, and there's just so many local teams this year that are into the playoffs that are really close to one another. You're kind of wondering who's going to end up where and how that's going to impact their playoff run. And, you know, and one of the guys mentioned to us they've been talking to some of the teams that have made the playoffs, and they say, who do you guys want to face? We said, we don't care as long as it's not Lumen. And, you know, so that's you kind of wonder where that's going to go when Selection Sunday comes around. And Michigan Center hopes for a win so they can lock up home field at the very least, so no matter who they draw, they can get a little home cooking. But we'll see on Sunday.
Stay tuned to K105.3 next week, and we'll have details for sure on where the next game will be. Meanwhile, let's take another two-minute break here on the halftime report for Collins Brothers Floor Covering, and we will get things set for the second half of high school football. Michigan Center 10, Reading 14 on K105.3.
The Beach Bar in Clark Lake, family owned and operated for over 75 years. Three generations of serving up the classics, like the Townie, a sandwich overflowing in flavor and in size. And don't forget about the often imitated but never duplicated Beach Bar tomato soup, using locally grown produce and the freshest ingredients possible. Visit BeachBarClarkLake.com and on Facebook. Open Wednesday through Sunday and now featuring daily food and drink specials. The Beach Bar, family owned and operated for over 70 years.
Hi, this is Jeff Bontrager, Superintendent of Northwest Community Schools. The Mountie Nation would like to welcome you to the Jackson County 2017 Fall High School sports season. Commitment, teamwork, leadership, dedication. We are Northwest Go Mounties.
Make your tailgates delicious with Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm. Donuts, cider, and fresh baked pies are sure to please at any gathering. The cider is flowing and the donuts are hot. The cider barn is open at Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm. Everyone loves our fresh pressed cider, roasted almonds, and of course, fresh picked apples. Bring the whole family and get lost in our 5-acre maze with over 3 miles of twists and turns. Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm, located 1/2 mile north of US 12 on Jackson Road.
The perfect floor starts at Collins Brothers Floor Covering, your locally owned Abbey Carpet and Floor Showroom. Expert assistance, incredible selection, professional installation. It's right here in your neighborhood, and the October flooring sale is on now at Collins Brothers. Prices are reduced on waterproof plank flooring. Plus, get free standard installation on all carpets with padding. Buy before November 1st and save big. Collins Brothers Floor Covering on West Pearl in downtown Jackson, or call 517-782-0298.
K105.3 presents high school football. That will conclude the halftime report. It's now time for the second half on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Time ticking down on our halftime clock. Get ready for half number two. 14-10 Reading over Michigan Center. Currently, the Cardinals will get the ball to start the half. Jake Nichols warming up on the sideline. I think the Cardinals were worried about possibly losing Brady Rowe for a moment there in the first half. He did make a re-entry into the game in the late part of the first half, and I think after a halftime, maybe a little meeting time with the trainer, he's going to be good to go here for the second half. So that's an important weapon for the Cardinals offense that they will have access to.
Definitely. And Michigan Center getting set to receive as we get ready to start the second half. 20 seconds to go left on the halftime warm-ups. It'll be Rayfield Johnson and Dawson Brown back deep for the Cardinals. No Andrew Torti back there looking for a little bit extra speed. Dawson Brown definitely provides that. Looks like Torti is, I don't see him on the sideline, so he's playing one of the up positions, sort of a hands type of guy. Oh, there he is on the far side of the field. Acknowledging that the Reading kicking game has not been all that strong so far.
They've kind of squibbed it on their other attempts. This one's going to be a low one, too. Bounces and fielded by Brown. He runs immediately to the right side. Got a lane. He's up to the 50. Hit and pushed out of bounds, but he's into Reading territory. Out of bounds at the 41.5-yard line. Dawson Brown with a burst of speed, and he gets Michigan Center a nice starting field position for the second half.
Yeah, that was a great seam. We saw the wall open up there for Brown. Hit it perfectly, got through around the edge, and burst into Reading territory, and great field position to start the second half for Michigan Center.
Really excited to see what kind of adjustments maybe we can pick out for what these teams do at the halftime. I think that's always an important part of the game, and in a close one, I think it's tough to pick out anything specific. But I'm sure they'll make a couple little moves. Hunter Horst with a nice change of momentum on the field. He gets up to the 30, and he'll get dragged out of bounds, and he actually got stopped up a little bit by one of his own blockers. Otherwise, he maybe has another 10 yards on that play, but a very nice run on first down by Hunter Horst. And a really nice change of direction on the field.
Yeah, he ran into a blocker, managed to compose himself, and it actually opened up the door for him to change direction and get away from some of those Reading defenders.
First and 10 for the Cardinals on the Reading 31-yard line. Nichols out of the shotgun. Looks like Haskell behind him. And he'll fake to give to Haskell. Now an option, pitches out to Horsch again, spins past the defender. Enough contact to get him down. He's inside the 30. Put him at the 28-yard line, and Michigan Center gets a couple yards on first down, second and 7.
Anthony Willoughby on the stop, his fourth tackle of the game.
Huddled up on the field, Michigan Center breaks, comes to the line. Rayfield Johnson split wide to the right. And that is Dawson Doering, wide left. Shotgun for Nichols, gives to Rowe. He's hit, spins off, stays on his feet. He's not going to get a lot of room, but he is going to get back up to that line of scrimmage, which potentially losing a couple yards there if he goes down on that first contact.
Yeah, that was a good job to spin off of that that contact. Corbin Hoover making the stop for Reading. But a good job by Rowe, who still doesn't look like he has the same burst that he had before the injury. And you see him still kind of hobbling around, and he's going to come off the field. with that ankle lower leg injury definitely starting to impact him.
Third, and it looks like really, I think they call it seven. Looks like eight from here. Passing situation for the Cardinals. Nichols out of the shotgun, rolls right. Comfortable throwing that way. He's got Rayfield. Throws it a little low, and Johnson can't get down to it. Incomplete. We do know, however, Jason, that from where that ball is spotted is within Brian Williams' field goal range.
Yeah, as long as they're not touching the paint on the midfield area, you're pretty much well within Brian Williams' field goal range. And this one will be about 42-ish, 41-ish, somewhere in there, yeah.
But it doesn't look like they're going to kick.
Yeah, Nichols is coming out. Brian Williams is on the field, though.
This would be the first, they fake a pass play and actually kick a field goal? Would that be the first time in history?
Yeah, can they do the Doug Flutie drop kick field goal?
Nichols back to pass out of the shotgun. Again, rolling right, looking upfield. Rayfield into the end zone. He throws up. Rayfield got it. A touchdown! Sure-handed Rayfield Johnson. The throw was dying right there at the goal line. Rayfield cut inside the defender and into the end zone on a 3rd-and-8 play. Michigan center into the end zone for a touchdown, seizing back the lead in this one. Back and forth game right now, 16-14. 10 minutes to go, third quarter. K105.3 Football Frenzy will get the extra point attempt. Big play for the Cardinals. Coming from the sideline, head coach Troy Allen. Extra point is up. We might have to chase that into the parking lot.
That might have hit the lake, actually, back there behind the baseball field.
17-14, Michigan Center leads. Let's take 30 seconds. We're back with the kickoff on K105.3.
Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain field, driveway repair, and everything landscaping. Fall is here and winter is looming, so repair your muddy driveway with Lester Brothers' multiple varieties of driveway gravel before more damage is caused from winter potholes. Need your septic tank pumped? Call Lester Brothers. Need screened topsoil to finish off those year-end landscaping jobs? Call Lester Brothers. Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain fields, driveway repair, septic tank, and everything landscaping. Call Lester Brothers today or visit lesterbros.com.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football right here on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith, under 10 minutes to go now, third quarter. First possession for the Cardinals of the half, and they get into the end zone, take the lead 17-14. It's been a doozy of a game so far. There's a big boot on the kickoff, fielded at the one. Up to the 20, and wrestled down. They're going to hit him hard right at the 20-yard line. So Michigan Center defense will come out, try to get a stop against these Reading Rangers. And, yeah, they'll mark that just short of the 20-yard line. The 19-and-a-half are first and 10 for Reading. I got an update on the out-of-town scoreboard first, Jason. Western well in control. Their tilt 43-6 over Dexter in the second half.
Yeah, and that's a game Western should have well in hand. Dexter has two wins over the last, I believe it's decade or so.
Yikes.
The last 7 years. Jet sweep.
Sweet play. Lots flag of hits, and we get a flag out late in the play.
It's in the area, possibly of a hold, maybe a face mask type of situation.
They stretched that run out pretty well, and they've got it spotted at the 23-yard line. So it'd be 2nd-and-7, depending on what happens with the penalty, however. Block in the back against the Rangers. Michigan Center will get a little bit of help from the penalty. And are the officials uncertain where they're looking to mark it from? to give him the full 10 at the 10-yard line. First and 20 for the Rangers.
So now we've got the momentum continuing to roll on Michigan Center's side.
Out of the shotgun, Price back to pass on first and long. Looking right, now changes direction. Now he's got pressure. And he'll get sacked back at the 5. Big play by the Cardinal defense. He had a lot of time, but he needed to make a decision. And he locked on to that receiver up the right sideline. Jason, he probably had a pass he could make up the left side. A little too long back there.
Yeah,
if
he would have made the decision to throw a little bit sooner, he might have had a man open, but that was definitely a coverage sack and then a little bit of reluctance to pull the trigger at the end when he had a man open. Sack will go credited to Abel Compton.
For a moment there, it looked, too, to his credit, like Price might be able to get out of there and get the throwaway. As one guy kind of jumped on his back and flipped over it. Just too many Cardinals after him. Now he's out of the shotgun again, this time in his end zone. He gets the throwaway. In it, nearly intercepted. I almost called it prematurely. Brady Rowe back in the coverage. And just off the hands, he was right there to catch it, right in his, right where you'd want the pass to go for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw a couple of guys jumping the route there, and Brady had the best shot at the interception, and you heard the crowd sort of let out a mild groan there. Even the coordinators up in the booth here sitting next to me, they were a little demonstrative up here too.
So on third down, 23 yards. Empty backfield for Price. He's got a lot of guys. He's getting pressure. He's going to get brought down. Big sack by the Cardinal defense into the 2-yard line. And Reading running into a ton of problems.
And that was Patrick Height in on the sack, the 5'11", 200-pound senior.
That time I can't even call it a coverage sack, Jason. That was just great penetration from the Cardinal D-line.
Yeah, that defensive line exploded through, and really he just had no time, did Alex Price. And from the proverbial shadow of the goalpost, Reading will punt it away.
You need a good snap here because he doesn't have any move to jostle, room to jostle. He does get the kick away. Johnson's going to field it and struggle to bring it in. He put his knee down.
That's going to be a personal foul.
So Johnson caught it at the 35. And then the flag comes out.
Yeah, Johnson was on his knees, and that is the universal symbol for being down in high school football, and he got tackled anyway. So an unfortunate play there for Reading, and this is going to give Michigan Center a little bit more of an advantage, assuming that this penalty goes through. It looks
well,
like
it's already a short
over.
Field, Jason, so depending on what they end up with the call, Cardinals are going to get a little bit of room. 7:53 to go third quarter. Michigan Center scored on their first possession of the second half to make it 17-14. Now after...
And they're picking it up.
Does not please the Cardinal faithful.
They are respectfully disagreeing here.
Cardinal Nation. Not happy about the flag being picked up. So we'll spot it at the 36. Michigan Center taking over, first and 10. Nichols out of the shotgun, nobody behind him. Rolling out, and he's going to get some pressure. Gets the throwaway, open his horse, catches it. And he's got first down distance there. Move the chains one more time. Michigan Center now inside of the 25. Nichols got a little bit of pressure, but was quick to get the ball away. And the clock runs at 7:40 in the third. Michigan Center on the strike here. And again, empty backfield for Nichols with four wide and one wing. And they give to the... No, Nichols keeps. He's got some running room inside the 20. Will battle his way, looking for the 15. Instead, they'll stretch it out of bounds. Put him at the 17, however, and a nice trick play by Jake Nichols. Had me fooled momentarily. And if he had handed it off, That running back's hit for a loss. Instead, Nichols turns it into a 7-yard gain for the Cardinals, second and three. Inside the Reading 20-yard line.
Yeah, that's a good job because they've been pretty frequently handing off to that wing on that designed play, and a good job by Nichols to pull it back. Not sure if that was an option play or a designed keep, but either way, good decision by Nichols to tuck it and run.
Center sends Rowan motion. The snap's low, and Nichols on it. We'll get a whistle. Reading wants the football, but I think Nichols had it and was down. So it's about the third time I've seen one of those snaps come in low, and it this time Nichols couldn't pick it up, and he just had to fall on it.
Yeah, and we saw that in previous meetings that we've seen Michigan center play. They've had some center trouble with some of those shotgun snaps going over his head, going under his head, going wide, you know, yeah. All over the place.
Well, Michigan center plays that shotgun virtually every play, so, you know, out of however many snaps there are in the game, there's a good chance you're going to have a couple of them go awry when you're working out of that shotgun. That's a great snap there. Nichols back to throw. Gets some pressure. Gets it away. Caught.
Ooh.
And hit immediately, but he holds onto the football.
Nick Torti, rather. Big hit.
Nick Torti just crushed, but holds onto the football. Big catch by Torti. Gets the Cardinals inside of the 10-yard line. That's down to the 8. First and goal for Michigan center. Nichols, again, strong in the pocket, had pressure coming right at him, made the right decision and found Nick Torti all alone. But he didn't have a big window because Torti reeled it in and took a shot.
Yeah, Cole
Fearless,
Boyd
though.
Laid the lumber, and we've talked about it a couple of times. The coaches say Andrew Torti is absolutely fearless, and you saw it right there hanging on to that football.
He's in the backfield now. And they give it to
Horst.
Oh, what a play to Horst. No, that's
Doering, rather.
Doering. What a play. Absolutely fooled everybody on the sweep play to Doering, and he had nobody between him and that outside corner of the end zone, and he walked it into the end zone. 23-14, all Michigan center here in the second half. 5:14 to go in the third quarter, and the Cardinals grab onto a 9-point lead. They'll look to make it 10 with the extra point.
And if you're head coach Troy Allen, whatever you said to these young men at halftime seems to have clicked.
And there's the extra point. That one goes through. Make it 24-14, Michigan center. 14-0 score here in the second half. And they've taken control of this game. 30 seconds, and we'll get you a kickoff on K105.3.
The Jackson YMCA, where everybody comes to play. Right now through October 23rd, join fees are just $5. When you're a member of the Y, you pay just $16 per month for unlimited exercise classes like TRX, Y-Spin, Pound, Yoga, Zumba, Insanity, Kick, and Aqua Exercise. There's free child watch, and Y members also receive discounts on youth programs. Register your child now for bus-in, after-school youth sports, swim lessons, and gymnastics. And ask about the new discounted youth memberships. Learn more at jacksonymca.org or call 782-0500.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Jason, I was just counting the assistants listed on the Michigan center sideline. 13 assistants by my count. And I can't see if they're all 13 down there, but that's almost as many kids as they have on their roster. So I don't want to give Coach Allen all the credit for halftime adjustments. It looks like they really opened up the playbook. Meanwhile, on the kick return, looking for a little room and staying on his feet. Presto gets to the 35, and that's going to be good starting field position for Reading. And he was battling for those yards. You see the Presto's helmet came off on the play. But it looks like Michigan center kind of opened up the playbook. They went empty backfield a couple times to see if Reading could cover all of those receivers. And kudos to Jake Nichols for hitting the right guy.
Yeah.
A couple of different times on that drive with guys in his face.
Yeah, especially under pressure, like you mentioned. That's a skill that is not something you're born with as a quarterback. That's something you have to really feel because you've got your eyes downfield, and if you can feel that pressure coming and get the ball off to an open man, you're in good shape.
First down play for Reading, and they give it up to Strine, and he's going to rumble over the 40 up to the 42. Second down and 5 yards for Reading. Reading working with a 10-point deficit now, 4:45 to go third quarter. Price under center. Two wideouts. He'll give to Lopresto. And he again takes contact after 5 yards. Falls ahead for another five, and they'll get a first down right at midfield.
I think you can credit the referee there with the tackle.
Lopresto. Apparently he was runner-up in the 100 meters state track meet last year. At 5'8", 165, he's a junior this year. So he'll be back. Report we heard was that the Reading coaching staff thought they were a year away. Lopresto gets through the second level, 30, 10, 20, 10, touchdown. Lopresto split some defenders, and when it turns into a foot race, as I mentioned, as a track star, he usually wins those. Into the end zone quickly for Reading. And they're back within four, and they can make it three or two here on the PAT.
And that's now Lopresto's second run in excess of 50 yards for a score. He opened the scoring with a 52-yard run. That one from pretty much 50 on the dot. And he can add a 3-yard run in there as well. So that's his third TD of the game overall. And they will get the kick team out for the first time.
Hold is down, kick is up, and it's a liner. And it's through. 24-21. It's a 3-point game, and the good football on the field has been fun to watch so far. And we got a bunch more coming your way. 30-second break. We're back with a kickoff on K105.3.
The Beach Bar in Clark Lake, family owned and operated for over 75 years. Three generations of serving up the classics, like the Townie, a sandwich overflowing in flavor and in size. And don't forget about the often imitated but never duplicated Beach Bar tomato soup, using locally grown produce and the freshest ingredients possible. Visit BeachBarClarkLake.com and on Facebook. Open Wednesday through Sunday and now featuring daily food and drink specials. The Beach Bar, family owned and operated for over 70 years.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
A quick score by the Reading offense, and Michigan Center has been kind of two-faced here. They'll put up a really good defensive stand and shut them down, and then occasionally Reading's going to bust you for a big one. 24-21 our score.
Yeah, that's been the nature of the beast here. It's been bend but not break, and then a couple of drives they'll break, and that is the second big run that we've seen out of Lopresto. And there's an onside kick.
A botched onside
kick.
They're going to get about 7 yards out of the roll. I'll tell you what, I don't think Michigan Center was ready for it.
No, they really weren't.
They would have had them fooled.
Yeah, they were on their heels, so.
So they'll mark that at the 47-yard line of Michigan Center. Take over first and 10.
Good crowd tonight for Michigan Center. This is a team that recently won a fan poll for the best program in the state.
Well-organized vote. Nichols fakes the give to Rowe. He keeps it, and he's going to get about 6 yards on first down. Gets himself up to the 40. Let's make it 7. And now we got a Reading player down in the play holding his calf muscle, it looks like. Maybe some cramping up. That's what you hope for, that's a cramp, and that can be painful, but at least you can work that out maybe and get back on the field. So
yeah,
a little delay while he's down. As Reading head coach Rick Bailey makes his way out.
Yeah, and they're moving him around pretty well, so I don't think there's anything too overly serious in terms of a break or anything like that. But
did they do the 50-50 drawing at half?
I don't believe they did. Maybe.
Sounds like they did.
I don't know.
I wonder if anybody claimed it, because I bought tickets, Jason. And I don't...
Oh, well, let's go claim it.
We'll have to see first.
Yeah, but they don't need to know.
We'll go double check.
I got a pen. Here. What was the winning number? Let's
see if we can't edit one of these tickets.
If I can make a D look like a B on a report card, I can make that look like a winning ticket.
Well, the Reading player's down on the field. Let's take a one-minute break here on the broadcast. 4 minutes to go, third quarter, 24-21, Michigan Center with the ball. It'll be second and four when we return on K105.3.
When's the last time you walked into a car dealership and they offered you more money than you wanted for your trade-in? Hi, I'm Skip Young, and I'm going to give everyone up to $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Folks, you heard me right. I need your trade-in so bad that I'll give you up to $4,000 minimum for it. Body damage? No problem. Mechanical issues? No problem. You don't even have to wash it, folks. At Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, I'll give you up to $4,000 minimum for your trade-in, so I can make you a deal on a new Kia that's going to blow your mind and give you a payment that's lower than you expected. All credit is welcome, and of course, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, because I want to see you in a Kia. Kia of Lansing on South Pennsylvania Avenue and Kia of Jackson on Page Avenue across from Menards.
Plus tax and tax. Trade appraisal from Kelley Blue Book Fair Market Value. Not in combination with other offers. Expires month's end.
TheKiaGiants.com. Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith, and during the break, I found out that I did not win the 50-50 drawing.
You jinxed yourself by bringing it up on the air.
Well, and you know what? I walked over and I said, hey, did you guys draw that 50-50? And they were like, no. And then just as I was coming back, here she comes with the winning ticket, and it was not mine.
See?
And I wasn't even in the same ballpark.
Yeah, well, that's because you rushed her. $668, though. I mean, that's a nice little chunk of change for somebody to take home. That somebody will not be you.
It will not be me. Yeah, it would have been a nice win. It would have been a nice way to start the weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, we're live tomorrow. I'm live. Me specifically. At Performance Automotive Northwest on Airport Road across from Meyer for the Steel Dealer Demo Days. Looking forward to that.
They trusted you around power equipment?
I actually used to sell power equipment, so I have familiarity.
And that's why they call you Three Finger Boyle. On the plus side, some good news. the Reading player that was down on the field, Justin Strunk.
They're reading the number out loud, Jason. I'm not even in the same.
Yeah, you're not even close.
Strunk having a nice payday.
Is up and moving.
She sold me that ticket, too. She knew it wasn't going to win when she got it. It's her ticket. Oh, look, she. No, I'm just kidding. She's ineligible. I got to imagine.
I would hope so.
Update from the out-of-town scoreboard. Jackson leads Lansing Everett 19-13.
Jake Nichols out of the pistol.
After the long break, second down play. And there's Haskell on the carry, and he's rumbling. Chugging those legs, he gets over the 35, down to about the 33. Before they stop that momentum. And the clock runs. Michigan Center leads 24-21, 3:37 as they move the chains.
Yeah, I think one of the center coaches just came in, handed a winning ticket, and said, give it to Steve and Jason.
I think that is what he said.
Yeah.
Donated to K105.3.
Yeah.
First down for the Cardinals. Back to pass. Nichols looking deep to Rayfield. And I don't know if that was a miscommunication on the route or if he got some contact from the defender. But it was not close. Overthrown it. Incomplete in the end zone. Second down for the Cardinals.
Yeah, it looks like possibly a miscommunication on the route. Nichols was under pressure again.
He gets that ball out of there real quick. So he hasn't really been threatened with a sack.
Yeah.
But there's been pressure, so he hasn't been able to spend a bunch of time to pick apart the defense, but he's been quick with his decision-making, and usually he's making the right choice.
Yeah.
And you got one-on-one coverage with Rayfield Johnson. I feel comfortable tossing it over there every time. So second down, a little bit of a broken play, but a nice save there. Dawson Brown makes a spinning move. He could have got caught for no gain. Instead, he turns it into a five-yard gain, and Michigan Center will have a third and five play. I guess five was a little generous. Let's call it third and six.
Yeah.
2:45 on our third quarter clock. Still a lot of football to be played. 24-21 Cardinals lead. They're looking to add to that now. Big play on the drive for the Cardinals. Row in motion. Nichols will take it rolling right. Looking downfield, and there's Rayfield. Nice comeback to the quarterback. He makes the catch, and it's for a first down. At the 20-yard line, Rayfield Johnson, sure-handed receiver if I've seen one in the area.
Yeah.
He just seems to make just about every catch that comes his way.
Yeah, he can make the tough catches when you need him to. That's why he's the leading receiver for this team. As we mentioned earlier, he led the team in catches and yards this year.
At the 20, Rayfield split right for Jake Nichols out of the shotgun. The wings are Rowe and
Dawson Brown.
Dawson Brown, who takes the carry. And he gets about 3 yards off that left guard. He's popped right about the 15. Maybe a little short of that. We'll call it 2 yards on the play, second and eight. Clock ticking down inside 2 minutes on the third quarter. Second down and eight for the Cardinals. Second and eight from the 18. Nichols set. Brown in motion. They give to him again. He's got room around the end. He's going to get to the first down marker. He's going to have a shot at the end zone. No, he's chased out of bounds at about the 5-yard line. But a nice run by Dawson Brown. Michigan Center moves the chains one more time. And they keep this drive alive. Working their way deep into Reading territory. First and goal from the 5-yard line. .121 to go on here in the third. It's a 24-21 game. It's been back and forth most of the way. They send Brown in motion again. This time Nichols keeping it. And he's hemmed up and pulled down at the 10-yard line. He'll lose five on the play. Nice penetration by the Reading defense.
They look like Tyler Winey and Ethan Lopresto on the stop.
If that was an option play by Nichols, that was the wrong option.
Yeah, not the wisest choice there to tuck that one. He had Patrick Height, who's been in the backfield on the last couple of plays on these formations. Mm-hmm.
Well, and they faked it to Dawson Brown, who's, again, carried it the last couple times. So I can see the desire to fool them on the play. Did not happen, however. Nichols out of the shotgun. Rayfield split way right. And Nichols back to pass. He's got Johnson on the slant route.
Nearly picked off.
Incomplete. That'll bring up third and goal for the Cardinals from the 10-yard line. 28.4 on the third quarter clock.
That was broken up by Cole Boyd for Reading. Patrick Height has been in the, or excuse me, Spencer Hinkle has been in the backfield sort of blocking protection back. They haven't gone to him yet. It'll be third down and goal from the nine.
From this location, Michigan Center in field goal range for Brian Williams. Well within.
Now they're always within field goal range for Brian Williams.
Takes the snap, fakes the give, rolling out to pass. Nichols got pressure, throws it, caught, no! Dropped, hit him in the hands. Hunter Horst, the intended on the play at the goal line. He'll drop it, and that'll bring a fourth down and nine.
And here's an interesting decision to make. You're up by three. You're deep into Reading territory. Nichols is standing on the sideline looking to get a play, and they're going to go. Looks like they're going to go field goal here.
Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate. That Nichols. Seems like the right call to me.
Yeah.
Stretch your lead out to six. Give your defense a shot. And if Reading scores, you're in position to kick another field goal to win the game. Third quarter. Last part of the third quarter taking some time.
Oh, and that's going to
draw them off sides.
Yep.
So now what do you do? It's not as easy a question. Fourth down and five.
Yeah. And
looks like the offense coming back out.
Yep. Brian doesn't want to come off the field. He's like, I'm ready to kick. Yeah, you could tell he wanted to give that one a boot. But now, I mean, if you go to the air here, assuming it's an incomplete pass, Reading takes over on their own five. You put it on the ground, you gain 2 or 3 yards. It's Reading's ball at the two. So, right. I mean, it's solid strategy here, and they're going to go.
Well, I think we end up eternally pessimistic up here in the booth, Jason, but optimist sees a pitch out, and they're going to hem that right up, and he's going to lose 4 yards on the play. So we'll question that choice all the way. They still have a three-point lead, Jason. The defense has a short field to work with here, so there's lots of positives to take from it for Michigan Center. But you look at what you almost say you take 3 points off the board because you want to assume Williams is good from there.
Yeah, and that could be a huge swing. I mean, if you look at the field goal, assuming it's good there, you've got a six-point lead. But now you have nothing with but a three-point lead, and if Reading goes down and scores and kicks the extra point, that's a 10-point swing for you right there. 11 if they pick up a two-point conversion, so you need a big stop.
Still 18.6 to go in the half, and Lopresto on the carry. He'll get it out to the 20 on first down. That's about 6 yards on the carry, and that'll run out the clock on the third quarter. So with 1 quarter to play, we got a dandy here, 24-21. The Cardinals clinging to a three-point lead, Reading with the football. 1 minute break. We'll be back with the final quarter on K105.3.
Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain field, driveway repair, and everything landscaping. Fall is here and winter is looming, so repair your muddy driveway with Lester Brothers' multiple varieties of driveway gravel before more damage is caused from winter potholes. Need your septic tank pumped? Call Lester Brothers. Need screen topsoil to finish off those year-end landscaping jobs? Call Lester Brothers. Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain fields, driveway repair, septic tank, and everything landscaping. Call Lester Brothers today or visit LesterBros.com.
Make your tailgates delicious with Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm. Donuts, cider, and fresh baked pies are sure to please at any gathering. The cider is flowing and the donuts are hot. The cider barn is open at Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm. Everyone loves our fresh pressed cider, roasted almonds, and of course, fresh picked apples. Bring the whole family and get lost in our 5-acre maze with over 3 miles of twists and turns. Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm, located 1/2 mile north of US 12 on Jackson Road.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Back, ready for the fourth quarter, 12 minutes on the clock. We'll switch ends, Reading with the football. And Hillsdale, 17-0 leaders over Columbia Central at the end of the third, in the third. Second down and 4 yards for Reading. They go to Lopresto. He's got some room, and he cuts it into the end. Once he gets to that point, nobody catches him. Sprinting his way down the field. He's at the 30. He's got one guy with a chance to get him. Down
Horse
to the 10-5. Pushed him, and he goes through the end zone. That's a touchdown. Are they going to call it a touchdown? He stayed inside the pylon. What a run by Lopresto, and you could see him. We could see him, great angle to see him get into that second level. And if they don't hit him, he's gone. And he certainly showed the speed in the open field there. And that puts Reading back in front, 27-24.
Yeah, how about 80 yards that time? So now on his touchdown runs combined, He is now up to 185 yards just on his touchdown runs.
A lot of noise coming from the Reading faithful on the opposite sideline as they get the three-point advantage. Looks like they might go for two here. Is that what they're drawing up?
Looks like it.
Come up with that big formation. Three backs. Strine, Lopresto, and Willoughby. No, a different guy back there. It's number nine. A little substitution. Now we get a timeout. Corbin Hoover was into the game. And Reading will take a timeout. We'll keep it here on the broadcast. Good time to say thank you to a bunch of sponsors who we've had on the games all season long. Trips Auto Shop and Collision Center, Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm, The Beach Bar, Northwest Community Schools, Denny's with our halftime on-demand statistics, Collins Brothers Floor Covering, our halftime sponsor, thanks to them, Penn Chiropractic Center, County National Bank. Jackson YMCA on tonight with Jackson Public Schools and the American One Credit Union. They've been bringing those seat cushions all year long.
Yeah,
and
comfy.
Stay tuned following this broadcast for the Jackson Area Subway Player of the Game. Still up in the air as this game is far from being decided, it looks like. Tri-County Water with the out-of-town scoreboard, Computer Ties LLC, Michigan Center Schools, and Lester Brothers.
Best water in the business, Tri-County.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
Reading, looking for that two-point conversion, and they'll get it. There's the signal. 2 points. Makes it 29-24, a five-point Reading lead. 11:47 to go in the game. Let's take 30 seconds. We'll be back with a kickoff on K105.3.
Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain field, driveway repair, and everything landscaping. Fall is here and winter is looming, so repair your muddy driveway with Lester Brothers' multiple varieties of driveway gravel before more damage is caused from winter potholes. Need your septic tank pumped? Call Lester Brothers. Need screened topsoil to finish off those year-end landscaping jobs? Call Lester Brothers. Lester Brothers for your yard, garden, drain fields, driveway repair, septic tank, and everything landscaping. Call Lester Brothers today or visit lesterbros.com.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
11:47 on the game clock. Michigan Center trailing by five. And Lopresto has impressed.
Yes, he has.
Through this game.
A collective groan comes over the media booth with that one.
He doesn't know.
Best
fielded by
the night.
Michigan Center at the 30. And did he lose the football?
Yes,
Reading's
did.
On it. That's a turnover. And Michigan Center on the sideline looking a little dejected. Jake Haskell on the return. So it's not as though it was some kind of alignment or somebody who's not familiar with holding the football. Haskell has handled that rock well tonight.
Yeah.
Loses it on that return, and Reading back in the driver's seat from the Michigan Center 41. Really seen the tide of the game turn here in the fourth quarter. There's another give. That one goes to, it looks like, Willoughby on the carry. And he gets about 4, 2nd and 6. 9 o'clock on WKHM FM, Brooklyn Jackson, K105.3. High school football frenzy. Our score at 29-24 with 11:15 to go. Reading a 2nd and 6. Big defensive stand here for the Cardinals. It has that feeling anyway. Big formation for Reading. And the handoff goes, and he gets through that first group, and the second group has to make the tackle inside of the 30-yard line. Reading will move the chains. And that's Willoughby on the carry again.
Yeah, and you can kind of tell that the The air has gone out of the Michigan Center sails the last couple of possessions, and not what you want to see. You forsake the 3 points, give up a huge run, and then the turnover on the subsequent kickoff, so it's not going Center's way.
Three backs for Price. And a little bit of a difficulty reeling in the snap. Lopresto battles his way through the line. Looked like he was going to get into the end zone, but he was slowed up a little bit, enough anyway to make the stop, but he will get down to the 10-yard line. Now they'll spot it back a couple yards. So first and 10 from the 12. Reading, knocking on the Cardinal end zone door. Another burst of speed for Lopresto, and he's continued to be a thorn in the side of the Michigan Center Cardinal defense. 10:20 to go in the game. Two wideouts for Price. I don't expect anything but a handoff. And he does give it up to, looks like Strine on the carry. And he'll dive down to the 6-yard line. Was that Lopresto?
Yeah, it was Strine.
That's what I saw.
Got the tackle by Andy Pulaski. Spencer Hinkle, that's Pulaski's 8th tackle of the game.
So that first down marker is just outside of the 2-yard line. And we're spotted at the 7.
You got to hold them to a field goal here to keep it a one-possession game.
There's another give. Looks like Lopresto, and he'll get into the line. Not a ton of room. Brought down and bring up 3rd down. Huddle up for Reading. 3rd and looks like about 4. Under 9 minutes to go now in the game. Once again, here's a big 3rd down stand opportunity for Michigan Center, trailing by 5. At home, your Cascades Conference Big 8 crossover game. Big formation. And that's going to go to Lopresto, and he'll walk it into the end zone.
Yep. He made that look easy.
Well blocked. Nice misdirection. And Reading is into the end zone. And the Cardinals have their work cut out for them now. 35-24. It's a Reading lead with 8:33 to go.
And that is now Ethan Lopresto's 5th touchdown of the game.
He's got them all?
He has a 52-yard run, a 3-yard run, a 50-yard run, an 80-yard run, and a 5-yard TD run.
Not to mention most of those two-point conversions they've completed have been Lopresto's work.
Yeah, so he has literally outscored Michigan Center by himself.
Big formation, 2-point conversion attempt. This time they'll pitch it outside, and a race to the pylon is won by Reading. Corbin Hoover on the 2-point try. 37-24, it's a 13-point Reading advantage. We've got 8:33 left to play, 30-second break, and we're back with a kickoff on K105.3.
At Seymour Ford Lincoln, it's their honesty and the best products in the market that keep their customers coming back. Seymour Ford Lincoln features a fantastic selection of new and certified pre-owned vehicles to fit your lifestyle. Get a 2018 Ford F-150 XLT, stock number 50081. Easy plan lease, $349 a month for 36 months with 10,500 miles per year. With $1,000 now, plus first payment tax, title license, and fees. With F-150 RCL renewal, see dealer for details. All factory rebates to dealer. Offer expires January 2nd, 2018. For full inventory, visit Seymour Ford.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football right here on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith, final 8:33 coming up. Michigan Center came out on fire out of the halftime locker room, but has since surrendered quite a few points. Fumbles are going to be a tough memory for the Cardinals when they look back at this game, even should they manage to pull this off. And they've got time. They're going to have to secure the football, however. Here comes your kick. It's a low liner. And this time nobody goes after it. Rayfield will get it at the 20. He's still got some room to run. He'll get it up the right sideline. Now he's through the coverage. And he'll get it up to near the 45-yard line before he's dragged down. So almost another miscue on the kick return by Michigan center. Rayfield Johnson turns it into a pretty good field position for the Cardinals at their own 44-yard line.
Yeah, good return there by Rayfield Johnson to recover quite nicely after that little miscue there.
I think he sees the field really well, Jason, and he spots gaps and he slides right through them. I wouldn't say he's the fastest guy in the field, but he sees it well, and he sees those holes. So they'll come out empty backfield for Nichols, five wide, looking quickly to the outside, makes the completion into to Reading territory, and we get a horse collar tackle.
Yep.
So the tack on a few yards at the end of that play, the reception made by Michigan center Dawson Doering.
Pleading his case over there is Anthony Willoughby.
Has there ever been a time where that happened, where the official just turned to him and said, you know what, you're right, and just picked the flag up?
I don't think so.
I'm sure it's probably happened once or twice, but it'd be unusual.
Yeah, it's not something that you would ordinarily see on an everyday basis. The officials don't like to say, yeah, you know what, you're right, and we're going to change our call.
I was wrong. You were right. Yeah. Sorry.
After the fact, they're like, yeah, I probably screwed that up. But in the moment, you're not going to get it out of them.
First and 10 for Michigan center from the Reading 31-yard line. And they'll come out with five wideouts for Jake Nichols again. Brown in motion. And he'll fake the handoff. Nichols will run it instead. Still on his feet into the 20-yard line. Down to the 18. Nice fake to Dawson Brown and a nice run by Nichols. Keeping the Reading defense guessing. They'll actually put it at the 19. First and 10 with 8:11 on the clock.
And both of those, both Dawson Brown and Jake Nichols did a great job selling that that option play.
Nichols with five targets. Snap is low. Now we got some flags. That's going to be a false start against Michigan center.
Well, it seems like they get a little bit of momentum, and something happens, fumble, false start, penalty, knocks them back a little bit.
Push it back to the 24-yard line, first down and 15 for Michigan center. The clock ticking down under 8 minutes. It's been a quick drive thus far. They'd like to put those points up quickly. Nichols now back to pass again. And he's got Johnson, makes the catch, slips the defender down inside the five. Tackles, rolls over. He's into the end zone, it looks like, but they're going to signal it down on the one.
Rayfield Johnson on the reception.
Yeah, Rayfield wanted the TD. Looked like a couple of the players wanted it as well.
He's inside of the 1 yard line, but
he's not going to get it.
I don't know if he was. On the one, he was in the end zone. He rolled over the defender without actually touching a knee down. So if you didn't call him down when he was first dragged down, then I think he was in the end zone. But they'll put it on the 1 foot line. 7:29 to go. Michigan center comes out with a nut. Still that same spread formation. Now they'll slide a guy in. Nichols out of the shotgun. Low snap. He picks it up, and flags go up like crazy. And that looks like motion against the Cardinals again. It could be a defender lined up in the neutral zone. He's going to see what the
we've got a
sideline
player down.
Reading player still down on the field. We still haven't got an official notification of what the penalty was. They'll call the Reading coaching staff out on the field. Can't quite get a number on the player who's down right now.
Yeah, and he is face down on the turf, and he has not moved. There he goes. Now he's up and over.
They at least rolled him over. 37-24 is our score. 7:15 to go fourth quarter. Michigan Center trails by 13 here at home against Reading. They had the play on the one-yard line. It's the penalty is declined. And that'll make it second down and four for Michigan Center. So, again, the low snap on the ground. Nichols picks it up and runs into the line. He's tackled. Apparently it was motion against Michigan Center. So instead of first and five, it's second and four, essentially.
And the Reading player now up to his feet. Will make his way off the field.
So we're back, ready to go. Second down and four for the Michigan Center offense. A couple mistakes on the drive. Haven't hurt them so far. They'll try to recover from the latest. And they'll go empty backfield again for Nichols. Brown in motion. Nichols takes a snap, throws quickly. Looks like it's caught.
Yes,
it is.
In
the end zone. Touchdown. And that's reeled in by Dawson Doering.
Oh, that is Doering. Look at that.
So that makes it a 7-point game. Brian Williams to try the extra point to make it 6-point Cardinal deficit. 7:05 on the clock, plenty of time for Michigan Center. It's going to be on their defense to make a stop. There's the snap. A little high. The hold is down, and the kick is up. And it's not the usual blast by Williams, but still good enough to get points on the board for Michigan Center. Oh, point. 37-31 with 7:05 to go. Another 30-second commercial break. And we'll come back and settle this one on K105.3.
Computer Ties and PCS at 2903 West Michigan Avenue, next to Trips Auto Shop and Collision Center, serving your home and business technology under one roof. Computer Ties and PCS can help your business stay safe inside and outside of the network with structured cabling, surveillance cameras, network design, door access control, plus they offer phone systems, sales and support, and in-house repairs. Computer Ties and PCS at 2903 West Michigan Avenue, next to Trips Auto Shop and Collision Center, serving your home and business technology under one roof.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Jason Smith, looking forward to the final 7:05 of what has been an entertaining football game here at Michigan Center High School. Reading ahead by six. They'll get the football here on the kickoff. Williams tees it up on the 40. And Lopresto back to receive. And here goes your kick. It's a low one for Williams. Bounces and pick up the 15. Carry it up to the 25 before he's hit. In a battle for that last couple yards. And it looks like about the 27-yard line on the carry, or on the return, excuse me, is David Bignell for Reading.
Reading will take over at the 26-yard line first attempt.
.658 to go on our game clock. Reading holding on to a 6-point advantage, and they have been able to impose their will on the Michigan Center defense on their last couple possessions. It's up to the Cardinals' 11 defenders to make a couple big plays here and get the football back for their offense.
Yeah, they're going to have to step up big here.
And they got a big formation out there for Reading. Gives to Lopresto, and he's hit. Stop. He'll fall ahead, but he's only got about a yard on the play. And it's not as though that Michigan Center hasn't been able to rein in the offense here. They just haven't been able to do it in the last couple. So we know they know how to stop them. Will they be able to get it done here when it matters most? 6.5, and Reading's going to let that clock tick away as much as they can, holding on to that 6-point advantage. Power versus power here. Big formation for Reading. And there's another misdirection play. That one goes to Lopresto, and he is brought down again. Nowhere to go. Second down in nine turns into third down in nine. And Michigan center defense so far answering the call. Under 6 minutes left in this game.
And this is a big third down here for Michigan center. They have to come up with a stop. They have to keep it a long distance situation to force a Reading punt and get them at least some halfway decent field position.
They're actually going to lose about a yard on that carry, Jason. So it's every bit of third down and 10 yards. And now we'll get a timeout from Reading. So the Michigan center, faithful, getting behind their team, recognizing how big of a play this is. With 5:24 to go. Again, stay tuned following the final buzzer. We will name our Jackson Area Subway Player of the Game and give you as much insight as we can about where we're going to be next week. We won't know for sure until the Selection Sunday festivities are done, and that again will come up on Sunday. Fox Sports Detroit Plus, 7 p.m., according to the MHSAA. Get that information. The Cardinal huddle is done. The defense back out on the field. Reading will draw something up here in the huddle. I always like the picture. I know it's not the case, but that they're in there like I used to be, with one guy holding his hand up.
Yeah.
And telling the guys where to go.
Yeah. You got to draw in the dirt in your formations.
You do this.
And I'm going to do this. One guy go deep and one guy post, one guy button hook, because those were the only three routes we knew. And this Michigan center crowd rumbling.
It's a shotgun for Reading. And they go the delayed run, and he's caught immediately. He'll lose another 2 yards. It's going to make it fourth and about 13 for Reading. Not fooled by the draw play. With 5:12 to go, looks like the Cardinals will get the football back. They'll send the dangerous Rayfield Johnson back to return the punt. Reading has done a good job in the punt game so far this game, as has Michigan center. Execution has been overall pretty good for both teams. Michigan center.
The snap
fumble is still on the ground. They're going to get him. Nearly knocked it loose again. They'll pull him down, ladies and gentlemen, at the 14-yard line. Michigan center will take over. This is the kind of energy we haven't seen from the Cardinals sideline all night, but they definitely getting behind their boys to make a big play here. Michigan center with 4:53 to go. That six-point deficit doesn't look as daunting right now with a first and 10 from your opponent's 14-yard line. K105.3 football frenzy. Our final game of the regular season, and it looks like we saved the best for last.
Yeah, we did. We were treated to a good one tonight.
Empty backfield for Jake Nichols. Five wide receivers. And they'll hand it off on first down. Caught in the backfield. He's going to be stopped for a loss. So they'll lose six on the play. Doring on the run.
Yeah, they've had that that jet sweep, wing sweep option play, whatever you want to call it. They've had that pretty well sussed out the last couple of opportunities for Michigan center.
Yeah, the times when that play has made sense was when they faked that play and Nichols kept it. Might have been the better option on that one. Second down and five. They didn't put it back as far as I saw the defensive spot.
Yeah, they may have given him a little bit of forward progress or something, or lack thereof. But
still nobody behind Nichols ready to accept the shotgun snap. It's a good snap. He's looking to throw. Throws it up. He's got a man.
That's Dawson Brown.
Touchdown, Dawson Brown. What a throw by Nichols with 4:01. They might have left him too much time. The Cardinals are going to get the lead back potentially on the extra point. We're tied at 37 with 4:01 to go. Huge PAT upcoming for Brian Williams. All conference kicking all year. He's proven his ability in the clutch. The snap and the hold are going to be vital. And the snap is great. The hold is good. And he kicks it a mile. It's through the uprights. Michigan center takes the lead again.
Wow.
38-37.
What a game.
We'll keep it on the broadcast here as we set up for the kickoff. The Michigan Center fight song going on. And when it looked so dire there for Michigan Center down 13, the defense made the exact stand that they needed to make. They'll need him again now as Reading will get it back with 4:01 on the clock. Jason, I think it's going to be important for Reading not to come out with a sense of urgency where they start doing things that are out of character for them.
Yeah.
They know they can get big plays from the run game. No need to feel like they have to go right to the air. However, the clock is working against them now.
Yeah, the run plays are going to be effective for you, but they're also going to eat a ton of clock. And so you have to work with, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But at the same time, you've got to go with a sense of urgency.
Yeah. There's another good kickoff for Williams. That's going to be fielded at the 5. And the return goes. He runs into his own man. He's still on his feet, though. Gets up to the 30, up to the 33. As they Bignell, on the return. Not a bad return. A pretty good field position to start for Reading. And look for that official spot. And then he's got it pegged at the 33. So 3:53 on the clock as Reading huddles up. Will it be the arm of Alex Price, the legs of Lopresto? The Cardinal defense have any more tricks up their sleeve? 38-37, they hold a one-point lead. Two wide receivers for Price, and then Strand goes in motion. They give to Lopresto, breaks a tackle, but they'll bring him down hard.
Brock Kuhn with a huge hit there.
At the 37, he took a monster hit. And the clock stays active, second down and 7.
You see Brendan Hutchins directing traffic, the middle linebacker, sort of the defensive captain, all conference.
You look to see a little bit of hustle up to the line for the Reading offense. 3:24. They give to the big man up the middle, and Strine will get it up to the 49-yard line.
Close to the first down.
Close to moving the chains. The clock stops, 3:18. Looking for the spot. They signal the first down.
Yep. So the clock will start as soon as everyone's set on the line.
There's the clock start. Reading set. And there's a give to Lopresto. And he's brought down for a short gain, maybe a yard.
That's Patrick Height on the stop for Michigan Center, his fourth.
Clock still rolls, 2:55. Second down and 9 from the 45. And now we'll go with a more pro formation. A little confusion on the field. And now Price will step back into a shotgun. Three wide receivers, and now they send one in motion. He fakes the give. Give to Lopresto. He's hit in the backfield and brought down again. He's going nowhere. As the clock continues to tick off, 2:22 with a third down and 9 upcoming for Reading. And full respect to Lopresto. He has taken some absolutely raucous hits in this game.
Yes.
You can tell he's banged up, but he continues to go out there and just blast and work for yards.
Yeah, definitely approaching the 200-yard mark if he hasn't already eclipsed it. And Reading is running out of time. That 4.5 minutes has ticked off very quickly. We are down under two.
Four wideouts for Price out of the shotgun formation. He's looking to pass. Gets it away. Caught. And a nice tackle. He's brought down short of the first down, but that'll make it a fourth and manageable play. Reading can move the chains. The reception made by Tyler Winnie.
Spencer Hinkle on the tackle. He's been sort of all over the field for center. He's been very versatile, good athlete.
48-yard line. And Reading with the fourth down and three play.
Center crowd won't let up.
They give it to Lopresto. He's through the line. He's got the first down. Stays on his feet, but they will tackle him. And let's put it at the 43-yard line, Jason, with now a minute and 11 seconds showing on the clock.
And you know what? I mean, if you're Michigan center, you let Lopresto get those five, six-yard gains. Let that clock tick down.
There's Lopresto again. He's through the line. In the second level, they do make the stop. Rayfield Johnson. And it's at the 31 as we got minute three now. And they move the chains, and now Reading is getting that offense set up quickly. Yeah.
Just don't let him do that. That's going to be the big thing. Both teams still have all their timeouts.
Now, Reading did take one. No, Reading took one down.
Oh, for
the
end. Yes, you're right.
This time it's an end around. And they'll stop him. He's over the 30-yard line to about the 27, 28. 47.6 on the clock, and now we'll get a Reading timeout.
There we go.
Second down and 7 yards, 47.6 seconds. The ball spotted at the Michigan Center 28-yard line.
Man, what a game.
We were hoping for a good one, Jason, and we got one. 38-37, Michigan Center in front by 1 point. What will they draw up on the Reading sideline over there? The clock, a factor. I think they have one timeout remaining. It's my understanding.
If they took one down here, then that one makes two, so.
Head coach Rick Bailey taking every minute of this timeout to make sure everybody knows what to do. And during this timeout, Jason, you're not just calling a play for this play, but you're saying, all right, we do this
yes.
play. What happens? We get to the line quick, or we call timeout, or we
yep.
spike it, we do whatever. So that timeout was about letting these guys know what they're doing for the rest of this 47.6. Out of the shotgun for Price, he's got two wide receivers. Two tight ends, Lopresto in the backfield. He's hanging into block.
Good
a lot
coverage.
Of time, but he gets some pressure, and they set up a bit of a screen on the left. He's got some room to run. He's got the end zone in his eye. Touchdown, Reading.
Wow. What a game.
What a play call there at the end. He's into the end zone. No flags on the field. With 37.4 left for the Cardinals, they trail by five. And Reading will come out to go for two. I would expect. Absolutely perfect play. They drew everybody over to that right side, came back across the field with blockers and a run play, a pass play, but into the end zone. Cole Boyd. A name we did not call a lot, and I can't remember saying it the whole rest of the game, Jason, but couldn't have come up bigger than he did just there.
Yes, he did.
Two-point conversion attempt back to pass again is Price, and it's incomplete. It's a five-point game with 37.4 seconds left for the Michigan Center Cardinals. What a game, 43-38. Cardinals collect at the 50-yard line. Cardinals break their huddle. They'll head out. Ready to receive the kick now. We look for potentially to get in the hands of Dawson Brown. Rayfield Johnson on the return. None of the kicks have gone deep for Reading all game long.
Yeah, you've got two speed demons back there, Dawson Brown and Rayfield Johnson. If the ball can get to either one of them, they've shown flashes where they've been able to get through, so we'll see. If you ever needed a kick return for a touchdown, it is right here.
Caleb Miller gets the kick. It is a low one. Fielded at the 35, and he'll run it. Slips through the end zone. He's got some room, and he'll get it into Reading territory over the 50. And I see Jake Haskell.
Yes, Jake Haskell on the carry there. 32.4 to go in the game. Center Jake Nichols is not afraid to throw the ball around the yard.
He's had big touchdown passes on a couple different plays.
Trying to keep pace with Lopresto, who has five TDs. Nichols has four through the air.
So the Reading 47-yard line, really it's about the 46-and-a-half mark, Jason. On the right hash, we're set up, and the Cardinals come out. Three wide receivers, two wings for Jake Nichols out of the shotgun, nobody behind him. And we get some motion from the Cardinals. No flag goes up. Nichols will throw.
Wheel out to Brown. He got him.
He's got a cut. The 20 jukes him in. He turns it back inside. He's got it. Down inside the 5.
Touchdown.
Dawson Brown.
Wow.
Unbelievable. The Cardinals answer.
Wow. What a cut by Dawson Brown.
Absolutely amazing.
Holy
run
cow.
After the catch. Jake Nichols put it right where it needed to be, and Dawson Brown juked out three different Reading defenders. The play of the year for us, Jason.
Oh, man, what a play.
And even after contact refused to go down, even when it looked like they had him at about the 6-yard line, he just kept spinning and chugging and carried it into the end zone. Would not be denied. Michigan center Dawson Brown, amazing.
Brian Williams.
Extra point is up. That one's good again.
This game's tied.
Ladies and gentlemen, 45-43. Michigan center takes the 2-point lead. The failed 2-point conversion for Reading on that last is huge now, but they got 20.9, Jason.
Yeah.
I can't relax.
Lopresto can score 5 times in 20.9. That kid is fast.
As long as you can. Goodness gracious.
He runs the 100-yard dash. He finished second. So he's a silver medalist. He can do it.
So there's maybe one guy in the state who can catch it.
There's one guy in the state who could make this happen outside of Lopresto.
20.9 on our scoreboard. That's 20.9 in seconds. 45-43. Michigan center. Unbelievable game. Back and forth the whole way. We'd expect nothing less, I suppose. Teed up on the 40, Brian Williams ready to put the boot to it at least one more time. Lopresto standing on the 2-yard line. I'd be surprised if they kicked it directly at him.
Yeah.
And they'll line it low down to the 28 where it's fielded and carried up to the 37. That was Cole Boyd on the return. So with 17.1 for the Reading Rangers.
Whew.
Nobody, it's every Cardinal on their feet throughout the stands here. On the Reading sideline, a little bit more stayed, but look at that. They're all on their feet too.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen for the final 17. All we know is that the first three quarters and 11-plus minutes have been spectacular.
I just
Michigan
looked at,
center in a full prevent.
I looked at Dawson Brown's mom, and she can't watch.
Beside herself. Back to pass. Price is getting some pressure. They're going to get touchdown.
Sacked.
He's sacked. He's sacked.
That's Patrick Height with his second of the game.
Reading trying to get one more playoff. 3-2-1.
They're not going to get it.
Time out. Michigan center wins. The Cardinals come back to win 45-43. Dawson Brown, the hero of the game. Absolutely spectacular. The victorious Cardinals out on the field. And here come the Cardinal faithful out there as well. What a win for Michigan Center. Troy Allen's Cardinals. They never gave up. They were behind by 13 at one point. They came back to take the lead. They give it back. And they take it back one more time. 45-43 Michigan Center in front. Let's take a one-minute break here in the postgame. We'll come back and wrap up the broadcast and tell you who the Subway player of the game is going to be.
Come and go for decades.
As if you don't know.
Leaving customers
one-minute break. Again, the final, 45-43, Michigan Center victorious at K105.3.
County National Bank has watched banks come and go for decades, leaving customers frustrated by name changes and branch closings. When you open an account with County National Bank, you can bank on stability and a proven track record that comes from 80 years of serving the community. Trust your finances with a bank that is there with you, County National Bank. Learn more about opening an account at countynationalbank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 399979.
Sports and chiropractic are a perfect match for athletes of all levels. Chiropractic is readily available to youth and high school athletes as they continue to look for ways to enhance their performance.
My name is Troy Couture, and I'm the quarterback of Lumen Christie. I've never been out of the game and had to miss a game. I've never missed a practice playing football or any sport for an injury, and I think Dr. Penn helped a lot with that. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get people back on the field.
Penn Chiropractic Center, online at docpenn.com or call 784-7443.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Game of the year, Michigan Center, 45-43. I was just looking at the last score update I sent out, Jason. It was 37-31 Reading with 7:05 left. 45-43 is our final. What happened? I'll tell you what, the game of the year, best one we saw all year, and we saved it for the last one. And the regular season. I hope the playoffs can live up to this. Our Subway player of the game, without a doubt, Dawson Brown.
Yeah.
He was in the running for that anyway. But with that final catch and score, he made himself a hero here at Michigan Center. And I'm speechless. Just absolutely impressed. And I graduated with his mom, and we could see her over there on pins and needles.
Beside herself.
If we were doing a television broadcast in college football, her face would have been the one they cut to in a close-up in the waning moments of that game.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Michigan Center's defense deserves some credit. They give up 43 points to a very good Reading offense, but when they needed stops, they got three stops in a row to get themselves where they needed to be, and who knows what happens to this game if they don't have that punt that gets, it's a bad snap.
Yes.
They get it down inside the 15. Who knows what happens if that doesn't happen, and who knows what happens if Dawson Brown doesn't do just magic out on the field.
That was incredible. And, you know, his mother was a fantastic athlete here. And, you know, he's shown flashes of brilliance in the last few games that we've seen with Michigan Center. And this was just it's one of those plays that you don't expect to happen. And then when it happens, it's like, you know what? He's the kid that can do it, and just a fantastic effort by him and a good second effort to force his way into the end zone to get that final score. His second of the game, Jake Nichols' fifth touchdown pass, keeping pace with Ethan Lopresto, who we can't sell short by any stretch of the imagination in this game. He had a fantastic game with five touchdowns, three runs over 50 yards for him in this game, plus a handful more that didn't go for touchdowns. So just an all-around fantastic game, by far the game of the year for us that we've had the privilege to call this year. And, we can catch our breath on the way home.
Easy to see why Lopresto was co-MVP in the Big 8 Conference. He absolutely showed every bit of that skill tonight. And honorable mention for Subway Player of the Game to him, because if Reading had won, we couldn't even have given it the Homer award to Michigan Center. We would have had to give it to Lopresto. He was just that impressive tonight. Reading will fall to 7-2 now on the year, but they've got the playoffs ahead of them, and they have a chance to go far.
Yes.
And who knows, if they meet Michigan Center 10 times, it's 5-5. You know,
oh, yeah, definitely. Those two teams are so well evenly matched. They run similar systems. And just a fantastic game top to bottom. And I want to get a huge shout-out to Patrick Height as well on the defensive side of the football. A pair of sacks for Patrick Height, including the one to seal the deal for Michigan Center. I've known the Height family for a few years now. Wonderful family. Patrick is a fine young man, and there isn't a more deserving young man on the field to wrap that game up than Patrick Height.
He was absolutely relentless when they needed him, and again, the Michigan Center defense stepped up with three big stops late in that game to give their Cardinals a chance to win. And Dawson Brown, our Jackson Area Subway player of the game, absolutely spectacular play. And, you know, we got to say, Jake Nichols was in the catbird seat to be the player of the game.
Yeah.
And probably he deserves some props on that play for putting that pass where Dawson Brown could get it. And that open field running by Brown was just phenomenal tonight. And he makes the big play, and Michigan Center wins 45-43. We're going to wrap up the broadcast here momentarily. I want to remind everybody to keep your eye out for Selection Sunday. That's this Sunday, 7 p.m., Fox Sports Detroit Plus. You'll find out where all these teams are going to go. And we'll be doing updates on WKHM.com, and we'll get those over to the K105.3 Facebook page so that everybody can know where the area teams are going to go. And we'll be able to tell you where we'll be covering our next football game.
Yes.
We will be doing a game next week. Jason Smith, Steve Boyle. Jason, it was a fun year, and I hope it lasts a long time.
Absolutely.
I hope we get a deep playoff run in Michigan Center. It looks like somebody capable of doing that.
Definitely.
It's going to matter about the matchup. We talked about that earlier. It could be Michigan Center, Lumen Christi, which that's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, that's going to be a game I want to see for sure.
So we'll wrap it up here for Michigan Center, and we'll talk to you next week.
That's
Thank you for tuning in to Game of the Year. Congratulations, Dawson Brown and Michigan Center.